KTJJ Farmington, Festus Crystal City, St. Genevieve, The Boot.
Victories were achieved, losses were suffered, odds were overcome, and the teams left it all on the gridiron. It's time to recap the week that was. It's time for the most in-depth sports coverage from the Parkland to Jefferson County. It's time for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Here are the highlights from the previous week.
Snap, a toss to the weak side. It's the near side. Ethan Brown sheds one tackler, now trying to get the edge. He has it. Ethan Brown all the way into the end zone for the score. The Berryville fans, they want a hold on the near side. There's no call from the officials, and it is now a two-score lead.
Brooks over the middle, steps up and throws. It's picked off, intercepted by Festus. Coming back the other way, the return man to the 30-yard line, brought down at the 27. Good return, Austin Cole. Fisher never saw him.
And he coughs the ball up, and Fredericktown has it, and they might return it all the way. Tiptoeing the sideline that time is number 48, Noah Karokas. And he does take it all the way for a touchdown.
Option play. They force a quick pitch this time. Harris gives it, breaks two tackles, breaks another one. He's to the 10. He's going for the 5. Dives for the end zone. How'd he do it?
I don't know.
Royce Harris from 22 yards out. He was completely in jail, but he stole the key from the jailer and broke free. And he's got his third touchdown run of the night.
Get the insight from the players and coaches themselves.
I think we got some guys, you know, this season that, perhaps aren't going to be on, a lot of guys' radar, but they're going to be able to do some really good things for us.
I believe, yes, we do have the firepower that nobody else has had.
Each year we've been trying to progressively get into, quote unquote, a blue-collar type mentality.
We go in thinking we're going to win district championships, state championships, make runs. I mean, we got to do what we can do.
Follow along on Twitter at MyMoInfoSports and at KJeffSports.
Hi, I'm Hannah Cole, and you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Now, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, here's your hosting duo, Matt Greenwood and Sean Malone.
Good evening from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, Missouri. I'm Sean Malone. It is the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable, the Week 10 edition, as we are into the playoffs right now. Some teams still stand. Some, unfortunately, have gone home and called it a season. And let's take a look throughout the listening area and some of the games that we called on the J98 game. I had a defensive battle finally, Andy, the ones that you normally get between Potosi and Perryville. Potosi came away with this one, final score 17-14. They hold off a late attempt of a rally from the Perryville Pirates, move on to the semifinal round for their district. Meanwhile, Nick on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, you saw Central top Fredericktown 48-10. Good to see the Central Rebels get back on the winning side of things after back-to-back tough losses.
Yeah, and you know, there were a few mistakes, which Coach Swice has been preaching about all season long, it seems, in which a play that I'm really looking forward to people hearing if they haven't already, a touchdown on special teams by Fredericktown as Central coughed up a fumble near the end of the first half. That was actually about the last time that that game was in doubt. Fredericktown made it 20-10. The deficit was 10 as the Black Cats trailed at that point. And in the second half, Central just took the bull by the horns and completely overtook Fredericktown, as some definitely expected them to do. It took a little while, but they did it. And now they move on to the next round, and Coach Swice continues his pursuit of extending that streak of district titles.
They'll take on Dexter this Friday night on AM 800 KREI. Andy Humphrey will have coverage of that one. Meanwhile, over in Class 4, District 1 on AM 1400 KJF, the Festus Tigers top the DeSoto Dragons 36-6. Festus will wind up playing Farmington on J98 this Friday night to accommodate the Festus Tigers fans. We'll be bumping that game up to J98. But speaking of Farmington and KREI, they top the Hillsborough Hawks by a final score of 54-43 on AM 800. In other scores throughout the listening area, in Class 4 District 1, Sykeston topped North County by a final of 32-30. In Class 3 District 1, Dexter in triple overtime beat St. Genevieve 25-19. St. Gen head coach Ken Weick says his team got down early but came back for a dramatic ending.
We came out a little flat, I thought, but give them credit. They came right at us. And they're a big team and they're big backs, and they're tough to handle. They ran downhill well, and they got up on us 13-0. That's a problem with kids. They came back and fought all the way through the end and two, three overtimes. It was something. something to be a part of.
And, you know, that three overtimes right there is something that during the Home Pools and Spas End Zone show, Coach told you, Andy, that he's going to be referencing that quite a lot throughout the offseason, all the way for the rest of this school year when kids are going to be going home instead of going to the gym, he said.
Oh, yeah, it's extra motivation. You know, it takes just that extra ounce of effort to move on to the next round. And it's not saying that St. Genevieve didn't give that. They gave everything that they had on the field. But you win these games in the offseason, and that's what Ken Weick is going to start preaching so that his team can make a run, and they have the tools to do so. They've got talent all over the field. A really impressive defense this year from St. Genevieve, only two losses in the regular season. So they really are set up for some success next year.
Meanwhile, in Class 1 District 1, on the other side of St. Genevieve, the Valley Catholic Warriors, they top Chaffee 54-19. Valley head coach Judd Nagger says consistency is key.
We just got to be consistent and how engaged we are every single day. You know, whenever we're engaged and whenever we come ready to learn and, you know, ready to give our best, I think we've played some really good football this year.
St. Vincent, meanwhile, in Class 1 District 1, continued to perform at a high level in the second half of the season as they top Brentwood 37-6. St. Vincent head coach Tim Schumer says his players really stepped up.
Defensively on the inside, just Nick Loppy, our inside linebacker with Dylan Graham, they just really rallied to the ball and flew around and made plays on their running back. Their running backs were very talented, and we pretty much shut them down all night. And then offensively, I'd have to say Nick Loppy as well, and then our other running back, Luke Unreiner. They both had two touchdowns and really carried us offensively with this rain.
And Hayti topped Crystal City 86-0 in Class 2 of District 1. Jefferson topped Malden 43-8. Jefferson head coach Alex Rugley says his team played a great game.
You got to play great football this time of year, and they were very poised and, just let things play out the way we wanted them to play out. Offensively, we just grinded out rush after rush, and then defensively, we did what we had to do to win a football game. And special teams-wise as well, we did a great job. So really proud of each and every one of our boys. They played great tonight. We just got to carry that into Week 11 now.
And St. Pius topped Kelly 18-14. St. Pius head coach Jerry Woods credits his offensive line for the victory.
The offensive line start that third quarter. Couldn't ask for anything better from our offensive line. We just ran the ball basically all the way down the field and just put it on their backs.
And one game was played on Saturday where Principia topped Herculaneum by a final of 42-0. That is the opening round of the district playoffs throughout the listening area in high school football. And we'll take a little bit of a break. And when we return, we'll break down the J98 game in a little more detail as Potosi knocked off Perryville by a final score of 17-14. That's coming up on the backside of this break. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Are you or a loved one facing the thought of having to move into a nursing home because you're no longer able to care for yourself or your loved one at home? Consult with Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve before you do anything. They provide in-home care to seniors and the disabled to keep them in the comfort and familiarity of their own home. So give them a call at 573-883-8997 to set up an appointment or visit them at 1010 St. Genevieve Drive. Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve, serving you and yours since 2002.
From shredding to mailboxing, the UPS Store does every ing for small business, even impressing your customers. When you have your packages professionally packed by our certified packing experts and backed with the Pack and Ship Guarantee to make sure your business looks
outstanding.
The UPS Store, every ing for small business. And of course, shipping. The UPS Store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours may vary. See Center for details.
Hi, this is Jim, owner of the UPS Store in Festus in the Gannon Plaza. Come see us for all your printing, shipping, and packaging needs.
Our summer is ending, and on comes the Friday Night Lights. Yes, it's that time of year again for high school football. Hi, this is John Cozine, and for four generations spanning more than 100 years, our funeral home family has supported the Farmington Knights. And for most of the past 20 years, I've been photographing the Knights for the benefit of the players and their fans. You can see these photos online by going to our website at Cozine Memorial Chapel and highlighting the Community News tab. Or go directly to the Farmington Missourian on the internet. Either way, you can see the Knights as they play another exciting season.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on a J90 8th Boot from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Sean Malone alongside Nick Lewis and Andy Humphrey as we take a look at the J98 game of the week. Andy, you were back in the studio for this, and these are two teams that you've seen a few times throughout the season in Potosi and Perryville. And, well, they played to a close game in week three of the season, and another close one here as it was tied 7-7 at halftime, and a lot of defense really dictating this game from beginning to end.
Well, and strong defenses, that's the reason why. It's really what both of these teams have hung their hat on all season long, and why would they stop now? So, yeah, it was very a tight struggle there for both offenses that primarily like to run the football for the most part, albeit in different ways, but you saw the ground game really dominate in this kind of contest, and it just came down to who found that extra burst or that one big play to lunge forward at the end, and that ended up being Potosi, a really nice road win for them and a playoff victory coming off of last year. It's a really nice victory for the Trojans.
And for a lot of sports, but I feel like in football so much more than anyone else, it's about which individual players are going to step up and make a big play when necessary. And for Potosi, that was Ethan Brown. Once again, final score 17-14. How did we get to that point? Well, in the Class 3 District 1 quarterfinal game on J98, it began with the Potosi Trojans striking from long range on this Ethan Brown touchdown run.
Perryville fans making some noise as it's third down and six. Snap, it's going to be a handoff to Ethan Brown. Ethan Brown with some room, cuts it back inside. Ethan Brown has daylight in front of him. He's at the 20, the 10, touchdown Ethan Brown. This game was going to come down to big plays for either side. Who steps up in the playoffs? Ethan Brown, the first one to do it for either team, giving the Potosi Trojans a 6-0 lead.
7-0 with the point after try. A nice long run from Ethan Brown. And as I said, he stepped up there, and he did a couple times throughout this game as well. Late in the first half, where the Pirates offense would struggle to string together a drive, the defense would come up with the first touchdown after a punt pinned the Trojans deep in their own territory.
They got to get to the 13-yard line. Ball is loose on the turf as it's fumbled by the quarterback. Perryville says they have it, and they do for a touchdown. What a break for the Perryville Pirates. It's loose on the turf. Coming out with it is Eli Peart for a fumble recovery in the end zone.
There you have it. The defense stepping up for the Perryville Pirates. That was the big difference maker the first time these two teams faced off, Andy, is that Perryville defense got a touchdown, and that was the lone touchdown for Perryville in that game. And for most of this game, that would wind up being the lone touchdown for the Pirates as the point after we're tied up at 7-all.
Well, and Perryville's defense very capable of that. Potosi has had trouble with the snap a little bit over the last few weeks or so, and they've tried to change things up a little bit to make sure that they get that snap in there. But, you know, very opportunistic was Perryville on that. They've got so many guys that get into that backfield really quickly. So it showed in that particular instance how they were able to capitalize on those mistakes.
Yeah, big moment there for the Perryville defense. That's another thing with the playoffs, is not just players that step up, but opportunities when they present themselves, making the most of them. The Perryville Pirates did there with a fumbled snap by the Potosi Trojans. 7-7, the score would sit at the halftime break. In the second half, the Trojans' Zach Haynes would split the uprights to regain the Potosi lead by a margin of 10-7. Late in the final frame, the Trojans turned to senior running back Ethan Brown, and Brown showed the Trojans what he can do.
Snap, a toss to the weak side. It's the near side. Ethan Brown sheds one tackler, now trying to get the edge. He has it. Ethan Brown all the way into the end zone for the score. The Perryville fans, they want to hold on the near side. There's no call from the officials, and it is now a two-score lead.
There you have it. That would be the play of the game, and it didn't really do it justice there, the play of the game, as opposed to if it could have been the entire drive, as Ethan Brown was just toting the rock on pretty much every play on that drive. I think except for two plays he carried the ball, as Potosi marched all the way down the field and finally capping off there at the end with the touchdown to really put this game away pretty much. Made it a two-score game late, And it also ate up so much time, that individual drive as well. And that's what makes a team like Potosi so lethal to face off against in the playoffs. If they're running the ball efficiently combined with their defense, you're not going to get many opportunities to score against them. Don't believe me. Just ask the Perryville Pirates, who didn't get an offensive touchdown until very late in this game. The Pirates, they would get a late score and go for the onside kick and fail. The Trojans need out the clock to seal the 17-14 victory after the game. Head coach of the Trojans, Ed Haar, praised his team's blocking up front.
It started up front. I think our offensive line played a very, very good game. And, you know, whenever we need to put those long drives together, kept us going. And Ethan with his hard running, I mean, it was a kind of an overall team effort on that long drive you're talking about there. And we're real proud of the kids.
Meanwhile, head coach of the Perryville Pirates, Blaine Boss, recaps the 2018 season.
We had some ups and downs. You know, we started off with a tough loss, and then we came out and won three straight, and then we went on that, I think it was four-game losing streak. So, and then we got our homecoming win, which was always big and fun to get a homecoming win. And obviously we played our hearts out tonight here against Potosi, and we just weren't on the right side of the victory chart. So.
Pirates end their season at 4-6. The Trojans, they jump to an even 5-5 and will take on number one Kennett on the road in the district semifinal round. Andy, we're back here in the studio for this. You've seen both teams on the season a couple times now. What are your final thoughts on this game?
Well, again, very similar teams, and it could have gone either way, and you saw how close the score was. That's exactly what I expected it to be. You know, it was a two-point victory for Perryville on the road against Potosi in the regular season. A three-point victory for Potosi on the road in Perryville this time around when it mattered most. You just saw that both teams were really trying to pound it on the ground. And in the end, you're right, it was about the big plays. And Ethan Brown had both of them for Perryville, and their defense was good enough to make sure that Perryville didn't break some plays of their own. Really nice job for the Trojans and some good momentum going into next week.
Doing that without DeMond Guthrie as well, a good player for them. Nick, you had something you want to add?
Yeah, and Sean, it seemed like Coach Boss kind of referenced that losing streak, which started against St. Vincent, which was actually my first game with the station. And, you know, the offense was really an issue. They couldn't move the ball very well. Obviously, they've got their ground game, but just throwing the football has been an issue all season long. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that was also an issue in this one, as you mentioned, the failure to score an offensive touchdown until very late in the game. The 17-14 total seems very much like a Perryville score, and, you know, they started out the season as looking like one of the better area teams and just hit that weird lull after the St. Vincent game, and seemed like they never recovered.
That crosstown rivalry between St. Vincent and Perryville, that game this year was kind of a turning point for both teams, though. You mentioned Perryville going on that losing streak afterwards. St. Vincent has been playing some of the best football throughout the listening area. They gave, you know, just the week before, Jefferson, who will be joined by later tonight, they gave them a run for their money on the final week of the regular season as well.
Yeah, it is crazy seeing how both teams have come out of that game. For St. Vincent, their offense led by their amazing quarterback, in my opinion, Garrett Double R, he's really coming to his own. And St. Vincent under Tim Schumer, you know, it was looking a little bit shaky early in the year. Let's call it what it is. But Coach Schumer, for St. Vincent, if we're talking about them, that's his dream job that he's always wanted. You know, he's been associated with St. Vincent for so long. So from that game, so much changed. St. Vincent took off in Perryville. Not exactly sure what happened, but that losing streak is kind of the result.
So once again, final score 17-14. Potosi takes the victory, moves on to Kennett. Perryville Pirates end their season at 4-6. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, where they are now doing Team Up for Kids, where they're uniting with the Boys and Girls Club of America, where you can donate $1 or more for a pinup, and $5 or more gets you a limited edition pop socket as well while supplies last. Proceeds going towards the Boys and Girls Club of America. Coming up next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, we'll break down the KJF game as KJF Sports Director Matt Greenwood joins us for the Festus Tigers. They top the 6-seed DeSoto Dragons 36-6. That's coming up on the backside of this break. You're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a 10-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker today at 800-851-5371. Are you or a loved one facing the thought of having to move into a nursing home because you're no longer able to care for yourself or your loved one at home? Consult with Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve before you do anything. They provide in-home care to seniors and the disabled to keep them in the comfort and familiarity of their own home. So give them a call at 573-883-8997 to set up an appointment or visit them at 1010 St. Genevieve Drive. Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve, serving you and yours since 2002.
Have you ever been to dinner with a friend and realized you don't have cash to split the check? Or do you need to pay the soccer coach for that new uniform? Hi, Paul Hale from New Era Bank, and our new app has just what you need. Our app features person-to-person payments. This allows you to pay from your cell phone directly to someone else's. They receive a text from you and get the money real-time, even if you don't bank with us. Check out our website at www.newerabank.com for more information or call one of our locations. Member FDIC.
Interstate Regional Stockyards announces a special cow sale this Friday beginning at 6:30 p.m. Early consignments include a complete dispersal from Palmer Farms. This special cow sale at Interstate Regional Stockyards in Cuba is expecting 400 head. That's the special cow sale at Interstate Regional Stockyards this Friday the 2nd at 6:30 p.m. in Cuba. For more information, call 573-885-7431. That's 573-885-7431.
Hi, this is Julie Berghaus with Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, and I would love to invite you to stop in our store at 806 Valley Creek Drive, next door to Dollar General, and check out what sets us apart. Friendly and helpful staff, free delivery Monday through Friday to your work or home, convenient drive-through window, competitive prices, and top quality services make us the perfect choice for you and your family. Don't wait in line any longer. Let us welcome you as a member of our pharmacy family today. Give us a call at 747-1191 or check us out online at ParklandRx.com.
Back on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98, where we're doing buy one, get one boneless here as well throughout football season. So if you get one boneless on Tuesday nights, you get another boneless as well of any size. Let's take a look at the KJF game right now. Matt, you weren't there to call it. Ryan Reinheimer stepped up to the proverbial plate to call this game while you were all going right down and covering some players actually stepping to the plate in the literal sense in softball action.
Look at you go.
The third seed Festus Tigers in this one. They topped the sixth seed DeSoto Dragons 36-6. I was kind of thinking this game was going to be just a little bit closer with DeSoto building some momentum, and you know, they did have that game where they stumbled against St. Genevieve, but still they topped the Hillsborough Hawks, a tough team at the end of the season. You thought maybe they'd get a little momentum from there.
Yeah, certainly. And if you look at the first time these two teams played each other, it was a four-point game in the fourth quarter. Festus, you know, ended up winning that by 10, but it was a close game. So, you know, we look to the first matchup as indicators as to what we're going to get in the second matchup, and sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. For the Farmington-Hillsborough game, it certainly worked out. It was close for a while. Farmington pulled away late, but this was the exact opposite. And it just goes to show you what a veteran coach who's been doing this for 20, almost 30 years, what it can do when it comes to playoff time, how a team is going to perform. And Coach Schmidt had his guys ready, and they were ready to shut up and listen to what he had to say and do what he said. And they executed everything to perfection and gave up a late touchdown, which really didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. But for Festus Tigers, it's an excellent victory and maybe one of their best of the year.
So Festus, they grabbed the early first quarter lead by relying on junior running back Jaden Rystrom to carry the ball from 28 yards out. Jack Robinson converted the two-point try, giving Festus an 8-0 lead. The next score happened within the first minute of the second quarter, this time with Austin Anderson collecting his seventh rushing touchdown of the season for Festus.
First and 10 from the 11-yard line. Tough run, Austin Anderson. We'll get credit for that one for Festus. A very tough run. Good yardage after contact. And he gets in from 11 yards out. And Festus has increased the advantage at the moment, 14-0.
14-0 with the point after there, or with the point after to come there. But Matt, at this point, what was kind of the vibe when you're talking with Ryan about this, since he was at the game? You know, was it kind of just starting to feel like Festus was going to run away with this one, or was DeSoto still kind of putting up a bit of a fight?
I think when it comes down to it, the game really didn't turn on its head until later on in the second quarter, after the Festus defense stepped up and made a play. And that's something that the defense hasn't done a lot of this year, make interceptions or force a lot of fumbles. But the next play that we're going to talk about here certainly changed momentum. And I don't know if there was really any momentum at that point, but what I'm trying to say is, I guess, that we always look to these one players that make plays to have an effect on the game, and there's also typically one play that changes the outcome of a game, and that's what we'll talk about next.
Like we were talking about with the last game, it's like literally what you said, players making plays. Who is going to step up late in the game for their team and do that? 14-0 after a failed two-point try, and on the ensuing DeSoto possession, quarterback Briar Fisher tried to convert a 3rd-and-11, and the Festus defense made the play of the game.
Brooks over the middle, steps up and throws, it's picked off, intercepted by Festus. Coming back the other way, the return man to the 30-yard line, brought down at the 27. Good return, Austin Cole. Fisher never saw him.
Once again, astronaut Ryan Reinheimer on the call there. One of two interceptions.
Oh, that was a great call.
For Cole. No, it was a good call, but it just does sound like he's radioing in from space, one small step from man.
Right, yeah.
And, one of two interceptions on the night for Cole, and one of four for the Festus defense. Great defensive showing from the Festus Tigers. I mean, if their defense can play like that and their offense continues to run the ball as well as they have late in the season, Farmington may have to be careful a little bit in this game, because that's the recipe that can beat any team, forcing turnovers and keeping the ball out of the other team's hands. It's all about possession in football.
Yeah, that is certainly the case. But what's different about the Farmington matchup is Farmington is like Festus. They like to run first and run heavy and run as much as they can at you and throw the ball if they need to. DeSoto's offense is set up completely different. It's usually the passing game to open up the running game. So when it comes to getting those four interceptions and creating those turnovers, it's great that they have the confidence in themselves now that they can force turnovers, but they're going to have to create the different kind when they play Farmington. That's stripping the football, and I'm sure Coach Schmidt and his staff will work on taking the football away from the running backs for Farmington.
After that turnover, the Tigers had a short field to work with and gave the ball to Anderson on the fourth play of the drive, giving Anderson his second rushing score of the night.
Sweeping to the near side, inside the 20-yard line to the 10-5, touchdown Festus. Austin Anderson with another run for the end zone, his second score of the night.
Austin Anderson is going to be a good player for some time. I believe he's only a sophomore,
correct?
Yeah, yep, I
correct.
Had a chance to see him a few nights ago on their Thursday night game against Troy Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be very good for them. They got a number of running backs that are, I believe, non-seniors, a couple juniors, and Anderson is a sophomore, and they're going to have a lot of decisions to make in the future moving forward to try and spread out the touches as best they can.
I think Coach Mitt will be happy to address that later.
It's a good problem to have.
Right.
No doubt.
Very
it's
true.
Just a matter of, like, you have all these pieces, and now you got to figure out the best way to utilize all of them in the most effective way possible. It's certainly a good problem for Coach Schmidt to have.
Right. And honestly, Austin Anderson had shown earlier this year a couple of moments where he could be the guy that carries the football for them. He's had, I think this makes it three now, 100-plus-yard rushing games, multiple touchdown games as well. And as Coach Schmidt and I talked about before the game last week, the way he likes to run his offense a little bit is get the ball to as many guys as possible, see who is doing the best, and stick with that one guy. Austin Anderson is a guy that Coach Schmidt has chosen to just go with and get points for the Tigers. Another guy is Chalmer Brickhouse. Brickhouse had the performance of the season for him in that game against DeSoto. So, yeah, Coach Schmidt has a lot of weapons, just like Farmington, a lot of guys that can run the football. And I know we're still wrapping this one up, but it's going to be a good matchup Friday.
Jack Robinson was the one that I saw really tote the rocket the game. It was good balance otherwise, but Robinson was the go-to guy in that Troy Buchanan game.
Coach Schmidt can go to anybody.
I think it certainly helps too that, like, Robinson and Brickhouse are, like,
the same exact thing. It's almost like you just created the same player again in Madden and just changed the name
right.
up a little bit.
Yeah.
That they run the same exact way. They have a similar build to one another as well.
They do.
Certainly a lot of gifts on that offense for the Festus Tigers. A lot of tough decisions in the future for Coach Schmidt. Rystrom had a two-yard run to convert the two-point try. Gave Festus 22-0 lead at the half. The start of the third quarter is when Cole got his second interception of the night, and then Festus played add-on football midway through the third, turning to Rystrom once again for his 10th TD of the year.
Third down and goal. Can DeSoto keep Festus out? Trying to come up with a goal line stand here. Oil under. Takes it. Goes off to the right side. This time it's going to be a touchdown for the second option running through. It's a touchdown for Rystrom.
Brickhouse converted the two-point try on the ground, increasing Festus's lead to 30-0 early in the fourth quarter with the Tigers up 36-0. The Dragons, they finally got on the board with a successful brother-to-brother toss, getting Breyer to Levi Fisher for 22.
Empty backfield for Fisher. Looking left, throws to the corner of the end zone near side. He might have a man. It's caught in the end zone. Touchdown to Soto. Dragons are able to bring that one in. What a catch. Holy cow. For 29 on that reception, that's Levi Fisher, sophomore.
DeSoto ends their season at 5-5. Meanwhile, 6-4 Festus advances to the district semis and will travel to Farmington to take on the Knights on Friday night at 7 on a J98. Final thoughts on this game, Matt?
Well, I wasn't there to see it because the Hillsborough softball team at state. But when I did come back and I found out the score, I was a bit surprised, honestly. So good for Festus. We all thought that the game against Troy Buchanan was potentially the table setter for what could be Festus football in the playoffs. And I think they carried the momentum from, you know, putting up 38 against a classic school right into that matchup against DeSoto. They were fearless, clearly. They got 36 before DeSoto even got their 6 points. So, this Festus team is very dangerous because they are a control-the-clock type offense. They've got a couple of threats, with Brickhouse and as we mentioned, Robinson and Anderson. We didn't mention Rystrom, who, by the way, leads the team in rushing touchdowns. So, yeah, it's a very dangerous Festus team. And also, as you brought up earlier, Sean, with the defense, if the defense can create more turnovers, give that run offense more possessions with a lead or maybe even a tie ball game or whatever, then Festus could definitely control every game that they play in.
Once again, the final score in this one between the DeSoto Dragons and the Festus Tigers goes 36-6 in favor of Festus. The Tigers, they'll move on to take on the Farmington Knights on J98. DeSoto ends their season at an even 5-5. We'll take a break, and when we return, we will break down the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game where you saw the Central Rebels top the Fredericktown Black Cats 48-10. Final score in that one. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Coles Tractor and Equipment continues to be the leader of compact tractor sales for St. Francis and surrounding counties. How, you ask? It's simple. By selling the best quality for the best price with the proven best warranty on the market. Hi, it's Hannah with LS, the major brand maker of two other brands. Brands that you already know and love. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, you get that same franchise quality with the best 6-year parts and labor warranty and more standard features than I can name in this 60-second ad. This month, get the 35-horsepower 4-wheel drive diesel tractor with loader and skid steer front bucket for only $16,999. That's right, get the 35-horsepower compact diesel tractor with loader for only $16,999. Give us a call today, 573-756-4353, or stop by Coles Tractor and Equipment, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Coles Tractor and Equipment, don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Whatever your educational goals are, you can achieve them at Jefferson College. With caring faculty, convenient locations, and award-winning academic programs, your future is Jefferson College's focus. To learn more, call 636-797-3000 or visit jeffco.edu for a complete list of degrees and programs. Enroll now.
For higher education, for higher expectations, Jefferson College, Jefferson College.
Go see JR today at Midwest Sports Center. They're just off Highway 67 in Farmington. And JR, just because the weather's getting a little bit cooler doesn't mean the deals are cooling off at Midwest Sports Center.
No, we've got some hot sales going on right now on all of our ATVs and side-by-sides. I've still got some mowers available also. Come see me, JR, at Midwest Sports Center. The number here is 573-756-7975. Just ask for JR.
Go get dirty with Midwest Sports Center today. They're located just off Highway 67 on Walker Drive in Farmington.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98 The Boot. And we're now joined by the assistant manager of Buffalo Wild Wings here in Farmington. Mariah joins us once again. Mariah, thanks for taking the time to talk with us once again. We always appreciate it.
No problem. I love being here.
So what new promotion do we have going on now? Because there's a couple and I think I have most of them down pretty well. I just found out the $5 special isn't just Sundays. That's any game day, basically, which
it's
is almost any day except for Tuesday and Wednesday. But what else do you have going on?
Yeah, I mean, we can honor that special on Tuesday and Wednesday, too. But we're also bringing back the bucket of beer and the 20 boneless wings for $20 on the nights that there's Blues games. So about 30 minutes before the game starts until about right around the end of the last quarter. And then it's five bottles of beer, five bottles of domestic, and then 20 boneless for $20. It's a really good deal. Not only that, we're showing the UFC fight this Saturday. It's going to be a big one. We got lots of beer. We got lots of people ready to work, ready to fight.
You guys always have the big fights that are going on. Anytime there's one, you guys always have the package that's available.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that's tough for, like, a lot of bars will opt not to get that instead because I think you have to pay, like, a certain rate versus the capacity or something like that depending on the fight and whoever has it. They set their own rates for it. But, you know, you guys always step up to the plate when the fights do come around. I think I was here for Mayweather-McGregor. That was a fun one.
That was the craziest fight night I've ever worked in my life. But, no, I mean, we don't do cover charges. We just simply come in and ask that, you know, you spend money, you have a good time, you know, and we're just here to have fun. That's basically it.
And that's a big thing, too, with the no cover charge. A lot of bars will charge a cover to get in for those fights because, like I said, they'll charge, like HBO, whoever owns the rights, will charge a rate to the bars based on the capacity. So they think they can just at least break even if they do a cover charge instead. You guys don't do that, though.
No, we do not. We just ask that you come in, have a good time, and tip your bartenders.
And that's $20 for 20 wings and a bucket of five beers as well. Just separately, that's a pretty good bargain. A dollar a wing ain't too bad. And for the beer alone, $2 a beer is not bad either.
Right. And I mean, for especially the service that you get around here, I got all my people. They're ready to go. They're ready to get these beers out of the bar. They're ready to get them on the floor and they want to talk to people.
Yeah. So that's always a great deal for people to take advantage of. Anything else new that's going on at Buffalo Wild Wings now? Any new flavors coming out soon?
Ooh, we're getting ready to have a new sauce come out in a couple weeks. It's still a mystery sauce at this point, but we're getting some new stuff in a couple weeks and it should be good.
You guys don't know until like right before it comes out, don't you?
Yeah, basically. And then it's just like, here's this big surprise. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, here's all this really good food.
Awesome. Mariah, thanks a lot for joining us. We always appreciate it.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Assistant manager of Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, Mariah, joining us, talking about the $20 beer and wings during Blues games this season. You get a bucket of beer, five beers, and you also get 20 wings, all for $20. That is a great deal. We'll now turn to Nick Lewis to break down the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game of the week between the Central Rebels and the Fredericktown Blackhats. Central had dropped their last two games in a row. Fredericktown was playing some tough football heading into the end of the season, playing some, I think Coach Ford was kind of saying their best football at the end of the season. And Central, though, they really bounced back with a strong victory over Fredericktown, 48-10, to move on to the semifinal round of the district playoffs, Nick.
That they did, and it's what you mentioned earlier that makes it that much more impressive, that Fredericktown was indeed playing some of their best football of the season. You know, it's funny, I've seen them twice, and I think I've seen the worst and the best of Fredericktown. Against St. Jen, they got demolished. And then against Central, they, you know, you look at the final score, 48-10, and that doesn't look great, but quite honestly, that first half was very competitive, and you got to think about it like this. For Fredericktown, they've got all these sophomores. They're not really used to finishing games just yet in a couple of years, and we'll hit on this as this little recap goes on. You'll be looking out for Fredericktown as a much, much, much more improved team.
So Fredericktown, they actually looked as though they would strike first in the opening quarter, but an attempted field goal was blocked and gave Central a very short field on the return. From inside the 10-yard line, it only took one play for Central to get on the board and a run from senior Will Hopkins.
They're in the I formation here with Mannion the fullback, Hopkins at tailback. They'll hand off to Hopkins, going towards the left side, makes a man miss. He is into the end zone. It's a touchdown for Central. One play from 7 yards out. And the Rebels strike first. It's 6-0.
6-0 in favor of the Central Rebels, who would miss the PAT. Still on top by that margin, though. Did you feel the momentum kind of shift at that point? Because that is Central's home field, and Fredericktown marching up the field in the beginning, but then you got the block field goal one play later, a touchdown. I imagine the Central fans really came to life after that.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Fredericktown had a really, really good drive going that first time out on the field for the offense, and they set up the field goal. It gets blocked and then returned basically inside the 10-yard line. And just like that, it was like, man, Fredericktown, the start that they needed, here it is, and it's all just taken away. And Central all of a sudden is up by 6. And then Fredericktown had to look to respond. And we'll see, I guess, as the recap goes on, if they were able to do that.
Even more so impressive. I mean, we talk about Potosi. We talk about Perryville, St. Gen. A lot of tough defenses this year throughout the listening area, but Central kind of, you know, because everyone knows them a lot for the offense and the points that they've put up in the past, but their defense has been one of the tougher ones throughout the listening area this season as well. After a Gage Mannion touchdown made it 13-0 Central, the Black Cats, they eventually made it all the way back into field goal range and got on the board thanks to their star senior kicker in Colton Jordan.
A shorter one, 36 yards, snap is down, holds good, kick is up, and it is good. Colton Jordan splits the uprights and gets Fredericktown on the board. It is 13-3 Central.
It would take more than 3 points on this night, though, as Central immediately responded with another touchdown. And for the second time on the night, it was Hopkins to stretch the Rebels' lead to 20-3.
Corcoran with a short field. He's going to send Mannion in motion, hand off to Hopkins on a toss. Hopkins goes towards the left side, trying to get around the corner. He's around it to the 30, to the 20, the 10, 5, touchdown. One play's all it takes. Hopkins to the end zone, his second score of the day as he tiptoes the sideline. 19-3 Central on top.
Central attempted to make one more drive before the half, but was denied. The Rebels had to settle for a 20-10 lead at the half. After a competitive first half, the second half would prove to be quite the departure. As the third quarter began, Central continued to rely heavily on the ground game and drove down the field while Gage Mannion grabbed his second score.
Moving the ball over and over and over again, and here's another example of that. Mannion gets to the left side. Mannion is into the end zone. He escapes the middle of the defense, the teeth of the Black Cats. Moves outside, gets a touchdown, his second of the day. Mannion's got two, Hopkins has two. The score is 26-10, Central on top.
A successful PAT made it 27-10 Central, and the Rebels wasted no time adding to their lead with another touchdown on the next drive with Tyler Murray getting in on the fun.
Mannion and Murray back there with Corcoran. Handoff goes to Murray, and Murray over right guard into the end zone for a short touchdown of 1 yard. Central 33, Fredericktown 10. A couple of touchdowns to open up the quarter in the third here for the Rebels.
In total, Central scored 28 unanswered points in the second half and ended the night with a 48-10 victory plus a running clock for most of the fourth quarter. A tough loss for the Fredericktown Black Cats in this one, Nick, but Coach Ford sounded optimistic moving forward with the youth that is coming up into this team. He talked a lot in postgame about the juniors, the sophomores, and the freshman class that's coming in as well.
No doubt about it. And you look at some of the key pieces will be gone. You know, you've got your senior quarterback in Noah Karokas. He's out, and it was actually a little bit sad because he injured himself on a special teams play, of all things. Injured his hand. He continued to play at wide receiver, believe it or not. So he was unable to play quarterback, but did continue to play wideout. So his career came to an end out of position a little bit. But as a whole, you're right. Fredericktown's got all of these sophomores. Certainly at running back, they're going to be looking to be pretty stacked as the years go on. And for Coach Ford, season 3 is coming up for him. A big one, a statement year, and a culture year. One that he's looking to really get his guys in there, get his ideas implemented. And we'll see what happens for the Black Cats as they look to return to their former glory.
Despite the final score, Fredericktown head coach Chuck Ford believes his team made huge improvements since losing 40-0 to Central in week 3.
told the kids there was night and day between the halves, and we just need to learn how to finish. That's why we have an off-season program, is to build that character where we know how to finish. I said, but the main thing is it was night and day between game three and what you did tonight. You played your butts off.
Central head coach Corey Schweiss likes how his team played in the second half, but no sloppy starts cannot happen next week.
Well, I thought it was kind of a tale of two halves. We played about like we've been playing some games in the first half, and it gets pretty sloppy, and we don't take care of the ball, and we make some mistakes, and, you know, we had some other issues going on our sideline. We took care of all that stuff, and I thought we played a lot better in the second half. But, you know, it's stuff that obviously we're going to have to clean up before we play our next game.
Coach Weiss always telling it like it is. Fredericktown's season ends at 2-8, while Central improves to 5-5. They'll play Dexter this week at home on AM 800 KREI. Nick, final thoughts on this game?
Yeah, you know, Central, they had some of those mistakes that people, Coach Weiss included, have been talking about. Those turnovers, a couple on special teams, one on offense as well. So the mistakes were there. But in the second half, most of those happened in the first half. As things flipped to quarters 3 and 4, Central was surgical. The Rebels went on a huge tear to take over the game, and it didn't really seem like one of those games that was going to end in a running clock with the score being 20-10 at halftime, but that's exactly what happened midway through the fourth. So for Central going forward, if they can play like they did in that second half and not like they did in the first half, once they start playing better competition, it's going to be quite the run for Central, and they're going to be a tough out, as they have been 6 years straight.
48-10, the final score in this one. The Central Rebels advance to the district semifinals on KREI Friday night against Dexter. Fredericktown sees their season come to a close at 2-8. We'll step aside and return with more of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable Show from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. When we do return, we'll break down the Farmington-Hillsboro game, and the Farmington Knights top the Hillsboro Hawks in a shootout, 54-43, the final score in that one. I think Chad's voice has finally recovered since then. He'll join us next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Hi, this is Brad Smith at Lucas Smith Chrysler Center. Lucas Smith Chrysler is more than just your local Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep dealer. We sell and service to the entire Jefferson County area. So while you're listening to this sports broadcast, no matter if it's the Tigers, the Hornets, the Blue Jays, the Lancers, the Dragons, or the Hawks, remember, we are and we support the entire Jefferson County area and its sports teams. We are Lucas Smith Chrysler Center off Highway A in Festus, your home of the No Bull Deal.
Home of the No Bull Deal. Lucas Smith Chrysler. No Bull.
Here's another selling tip from Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate.
When should you list? Now is a great time. Supply is low, but there are still an adequate number of buyers available. This will give you a greater opportunity of selling due to less competition. Call or text me, Vanessa Troche, at 573-330-6261.
Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate. We'll help you through the selling process from beginning to end. Find us online at coldwellbankerholsey.com and follow us on Facebook.
Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family. You can do it with a swimming pool. Hi, I'm Angie DeClue with Home Pools and Spas. We can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Above ground or in ground, you have a choice of selections. Install now for years of great times.
Everybody's going home, pool, and spa.
To see pools and pricing, go to our website, homepoolsandspas.net. Again, I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas, inviting you to stop by. We're located just south of the Ludington exit.
Hi, this is Jamie.
And I'm Chris with Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills.
If you need new bedding, living room, dining room sets, recliners, or appliances, then you need to take advantage of our everyday discounted prices.
You'll find Patsy's Furniture is marked to the lowest possible price, so you won't be guessing.
We have a no-credit-needed financing plan, and with approved credit, we offer a 24-month 0% interest financing option. And military and first responders receive a discount every day.
You'll love to shop at Patsy's.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. The Buddhist chat speaker joins us now. Chad, you had quite an exciting game. Once again, these two teams facing off and playing an exciting game back and forth against each other. This time, fortunately, we were able to get it in on that Friday night, though.
You know, we kind of have teased Andy this year. If you want a great defensive struggle, just call Andy to do your game, but man, mine was a thriller. It was one of those track meets, you know, that just go back and forth and up and down. And Wyoming coach Joe Tiller used to call it basketball on grass. Now, that was a passing game, but this was almost all on the ground.
Coach Rugley has used that term before, basketball on grass. Yeah, and with some of the games that talking to him before some of the games I've called of his earlier this season. But, yeah, that's really what you've had a lot of times throughout the – do you know what the lowest scoring contest is?
I've got it here.
Now
I'll
that
have
I'm
to pull
thinking
it out.
About it, I wonder if the lowest contest you've had has been more scoring than any contest Andy has had.
His highest, right?
Your lowest may be bigger than his highest.
I've got my sheets right here. You know, I'm a little bit late tonight, Sean, because I went over to Farmington's football practice and talked with Royce Harris, our Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Play at Ford Athlete of the Week. And, you know, he's such a tremendous running back. We know that because we've followed him all year, but he's a humble and a nice, kind young man that thinks of others before he thinks of himself.
Does he know which charity he's getting?
Yeah, I mean, he was all ready because he said, I want to donate it to the Farmington Ministerial Alliance Food Pantry. And I asked him why and what they do, and he told me all about what they do, and he knows firsthand what they do because he and his brother Rothman help him. Hmm. They go donate their time there, and
we've got another one here with us tonight as well. The first one, in fact.
Exactly,
so
yeah.
We'll be
and they both had great reasons, yeah. You know, for donating to that's been, to me, it's great to celebrate athletes. It's greater yet to celebrate people. And that's been, to me, probably the most edifying portion of what we've been able to do with the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Play Forward Athlete of the Week is you learn kind of something about these kids and what matters to them.
Yeah.
And you get to know them, you know, a little bit as people and kids that are, you know, discerning, intelligent, thoughtful, caring young people, and you learn about that.
We cover so much just the athletic side of it, their accomplishments, where they're going to school. Even then, you'll touch on a little bit what they're looking to do for a career. But with that, you get to see the humanitarian side of these players as well.
Yeah, really nice. And thanks for Parkland Health Mart for kind of allowing us to do that. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes I think each generation gets carried away with saying, you know, kids these days, and they look down at their nose, and every generation does it. But, you know, I think kids these days are all right. So
they're all right. So, meanwhile, back with the game that happened on the field, Farmington, they exacted a measure of revenge Friday night in their 54-43 win over Hillsborough. The Hawks bounced the Knights out of the playoffs last year and also beat them during the regular season this year. The ground-based attack track meet featured 97 total points, but only 54 combined passing yards. Royce Harris gave us a preview of what was to come for the Farmington Knights on the first possession.
Side option play, pitch man is Harris. Royce gets it, he explodes. Ooh. Goodbye, Royce Harris. Here he goes, 41 yards, third play from scrimmage, and Harris gets into the end zone for the 16th time this year. Farmington up 6-0.
Make it 7-0 with the extra point, but the Hawks had a quick answer with running back Dylan Dace countering with a run of his own.
Dace goes easily into the end zone as he gets that ball from the left wing back spot, and the hole opened up wide for him, and he goes in from 5 yards out. Dylan Dace.
You know, the theme for the playoffs this offseason so far, especially in this week, has been players stepping up and making big plays that make a difference in this game, and this was an instance of two teams with one player for each side stepping up, trying to make plays to win this game for them. You had Royce Harris on one side. You had Dace on the other side, too, with just a crazy game for the Hillsborough Hawks himself.
Yeah, and, you know, and they get the numbers, Sean, and you know, they're the athletes that are put in that position for very good reason. But I'll tell you what, there were two linemen, Joe Becker and Bob Dorner for Hillsborough. I mean, they just ran behind those two guys, I mean, every play. And, you know, the center got involved, but the blocking for Hillsborough was just tremendous. Now, you know, Royce got some good blocks as well, but boy, that right side offensive front for Hillsborough was so good.
Hillsborough's first lead of the game came on its only pass completion of the game.
Got Crady to the left, and they'll fake the counter, and they've got a man wide open going to the end zone. Pass is complete, touchdown, and a perfect pass by Ethan Eckrich. And Eckrich hit Voiles on that skinny out route into the end zone. That one goes in from 7 yards out. And Hillsborough now has taken the lead over Farmington, 12-7.
The Hawks missed the first two-point try. They converted on the second one, giving them a 14-7 lead. But the next three scores came from Farmington as Caden Files kept an option for 16 yards while Royce Harris tacked on two more TDs, one from 7 yards out, and this gem from 22.
option play. They force a quick pitch this time. Harris gets it, breaks two tackles, breaks another one. He's to the 10. He's going for the 5. Dives for the end zone. How'd he do it?
I don't know.
Royce Harris from 22 yards out. He was completely in jail, but he stole the key from the jailer and broke free. And he's got his third touchdown run of the night.
Royce Harris always seems to do that. I mean, he just... in the blink of an eye, you think you have him, and he's gone. A little Houdini.
There's another draw-dropper, man. I mean, you heard the genuine emotion from both myself and Kevin Thurman, you know, the exclamation when he got free because he was completely surrounded of how did he do it? And Kevin chimes in, I don't know, and no one else does either.
Seems I remember a couple years ago, and this will probably just make you sound a little old, but with Madden, when Devin Hester came out as, you know, had his big rookie season, they gave him 100 speed, and that was unheard of in the video game Madden. I feel like Royce Harris, if they were to make a high school football, you know, 2018, and get Royce Harris would get 100 speed. I think he's that fast.
Wouldn't be a bad place to start. And for him, his top-end speed is tremendous. But I think what's even better is how fast he gets there. You know, his acceleration is
and that's,
just unbelievable.
I mean, I've talked about that. I believe it was with Coach Schweitzer or someone else that was on here one night. And that, you know, the 40-yard dash is cute. But how often are you ever going to run 40 yards in a row? I want to see the 10-yard dash. You know, the 10-yard dash to me is more important because you're more likely to run 10 yards in a straight line than you are 40 yards in a straight line with nothing getting in your way. It's all about acceleration, not top speed in most cases.
And Royce will go 80.
Yeah, Royce has both. He has acceleration, but he's got that top speed as well. 28-14, Farmington after that scoring barrage. Hillsborough kept coming, though, with 3:31 left in the half. Sophomore Dylan Days got his second of 5 touchdown runs on the night.
Farmington has slammed the door on both second and third and short. And Hillsborough saying, we're going to go for this thing.
They're going for it. They are.
And they
they're going wide. They're going
to
get it.
They send Dace around the right side. He has the first down. Enmore crossing the 50 to the 40. Breaks two tackles. Breaks free. And he is gone. 61 yards on a 4th-and-3 for Dylan Dace. And he's made it a game once again.
Dace was so good in that game, Sean. But a lot of his stuff came with the holes that were so huge. I thought that was his best run of the game because he got through a hole that was open. But then as he got to the sideline, he was met by two tacklers. He's a 6-foot, 160-pound sophomore. He broke both of those tackles and then ran away from everybody else. I thought that was his best play.
Hillsborough missed on the two-point try, keeping it at 28-29, but right before halftime, Hillsborough made an error that probably would have finished a lesser team.
But not this time. And the ball now loose. Everybody scrambling for it. It's inside the 5. It's in the end zone. It's coming up, and Farmington has a touchdown.
Oh, wow.
Farmington busts it loose. The ball comes loose. It dribbles into the end zone, and Wyatt Westbrook covers it up for the Knights with 30 seconds remaining in the first half.
Yeah, you get plays during the course of a game, Sean, that you call backbreakers, and those are plays that teams just quite simply can't recover from. And, you know, when you see enough games, they're easy to spot. This looked like a backbreaker. I didn't think that Hillsborough would probably be able to come back from that because it's such a momentum play. 30 seconds left, right? You get to the locker room, but no, you fumble. The ball rolls back into your own end zone. They cover it up, and it punches that lead out to 2 scores. But it didn't work out that way.
No, for them it did not. After a PAT, Farmington led 34-20 at halftime. Whatever Coach Lee Freeman said to the Hawks at halftime, it worked as Dylan Days captured his third touchdown of the night to make it an 8-point game and come up with the equalizer not long after.
First and 10 for Hillsborough. Counterplay, Days into the clear to the 10. One man to beat, and he stumbles into the end zone. Touchdown, Dylan Days! Does it from 17 yards. 7:39 remaining in the third, and Hillsborough can tie it with a 2-point conversion.
And that they did. Dylan Dace, his show continued into the fourth when Dace put Hillsborough back out in front with his longest run of the game.
At their own 27-yard line, they go with the counter play. This is Dace, and Dace is in the clear. Nothing but green turf ahead of him. The hole opened up wide, and Dace just glides down the field. Touchdown, Hillsborough. He goes in from 73 yards out. Hillsborough on top, 40-34. 10:06 remaining in the fourth.
You know those 430-foot homers, Sean, that are no doubters? this was a no-doubter. He saw the hole open up, and it was, that was a 430-foot home.
You could see the eyes pop out of his head from all the way up in the press box,
yeah,
couldn't you?
There's no question.
Hillsborough, they missed the two-pointer, though, keeping it at 40-34. Farmington answered directly afterwards with fullback Tyler Barber breaking free.
Barber the fullback, and now Files comes down under center. Harris goes in motion. They'll go option play, and slamming it right up the middle is Tyler Barber, and there's a Hillsborough-like hole, and Barber rumbling to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Tyler Barber, this one from 58 yards, and we're all tied at 40.
With the offense Farmington runs, that traditional triple option attack, when you have a fullback that gets an opening like that, you just feel for him, because so often he's, as we've said through all season long, like a battering ram for the team. You know, he's usually the short yardage guys. He's getting hit by the defensive linemen that are almost 300 pounds and the linebackers that are about 200 and change.
Right.
And then they finally get some open room to run and some distance to go as well without getting touched. And that's just a great feeling for that tough guy running back.
Exactly. I mean, it's, hey, kid, this is going to be your job, okay? We're going to give you this oblong piece of leather, and we want you to run into a brick wall about 15 times tonight. Can you do that for us?
Well, opening things up for Royce Harris.
And we're
going to
let our speedy guy go. Right, exactly. But one of the factors probably in that play is that their sophomore quarterback, Caden Files, who actually took over the job against Hillsborough in week 3 because the starting quarterback went down, his ability to read the option and what decisions to make has improved drastically here toward the end of the year. You get to just get reps behind you. You get timing behind you. And he made the right read there.
Get used to the varsity speed as well, because he's only a sophomore.
Made the right read there, and Barber, part of the beneficiary right there.
Extra point gave Farmington a 41-40 lead on the very next possession. The Knights kept the Hawks out of the end zone as Eli Lamb tracked down Hayden Voiles from behind, but that didn't keep the Hawks from taking the lead back.
And this is to go ahead, Mark Moore, the kicker for Hillsborough. We've seen him on kickoffs. He's got plenty of leg. The snap is good. The hold is down. The kick is away, and it's through! And Hillsborough leads! The Hawks on top! 43-41, 6:52 remaining in the fourth quarter. Mark Moore has put the Hawks out front.
In my 3 years that I've been covering football out here now, I think that's the first time Hillsborough's ever attempted to kick the ball through the uprights. I'm actually surprised they even had someone that they knew as the kicker on the roster.
He's got a good leg. He's an import from a soccer team. He's got a really good leg.
I'm surprised you don't see more teams do that.
Yep, and, his kickoffs are good, a good leg. And I mean, it's just kind of their strategy to go for two. It's a good strategy for them. It's worked for him a lot, but he's got a nice strong leg. But I want to go back to the play that Eli Lamb made, because Voiles, the fullback, had broken free. He was on the loose. He was way out in front of everybody. Hillsborough was going to score a touchdown there if Eli Lamb doesn't catch. Eli Lamb runs hard the whole way, tackles him at the 5-yard line, holds him to that field goal. Well, that gives Farmington a chance to take the lead back in the next possession because of the way the points worked out. And I talked to Eli after the game, and I said, is that something that you work on? Is there actually a drill for that, or is that just you wanting to make a play and not giving up? He said, well, it's both. He said, I want to make a play and don't give up. But he says, we have a drill. It's a breakaway drill. And, the point of the drill is to never give up on a play, to track the guy down, and to try to slam the ball free if we can. And he said, my original thought is if I get there, I'm going to try to slam the ball free. But he gave Voiles credit in covering up the ball, holding it properly. And he said, I just ended up taking him down. That was a huge play for him.
There's a proper technique to it as well that it sounds like from the way you described it, he was going for, where you reach over the top with one arm, the arm that isn't on the same side as the ball is, and you grab the shoulder pad, the chest protector part of it, over the top. So that way you're securing the tackle. Then while you're doing that, you throw an uppercut punch from behind right where the football is. And if they're holding it loose at all, that ball comes flying out of there and towards the defense usually.
There's a chance to do that. And you can tell, when you're tracking a guy down, if he's holding it in a certain way, that you'll be able to do that. Voiles wasn't. Voiles, to his credit, even though he's in front of everybody, protecting it well. And so he held on to it. But Eli got a huge tackle there.
So Hillsborough, following the rare field goal, would hold a 43-41 lead. Hillsborough's Dylan Dace ran 31 times for 287 yards and 5 touchdowns, but in the end, it was too much for Royce Harris, that caused the Hawks to win.
in the fourth quarter. A 43-41 lead for Hillsborough. Royce Harris gets it, bounces to the outside, breaks two tackles. Royce to the 20, Royce to the 10, Royce to the end zone, and maybe to the district semifinals. 2:40 remaining in the fourth. Royce Harris does it again. Farmington into the end zone. 47-43. Knights on top. A 29-yard touchdown run by the incomparable Royce Harris.
Our Barkland Health Mart Pharmacy Athlete of the Week. Rushed it 21 times for a 190 and 4 touchdowns. He also had a 76-yarder that was called back on a hold. That was a big play. That was away from the play as well. So yeah, it could have been an even bigger night for him.
That was pretty early on. And you know, it was one of those that Royce makes a great play, goes around, and you know, you look all the way back, and there's this yellow flag way on the other side of the field, and didn't have a lot to do with the play, but you have to call it. Officials, you know, made the right call there. But I just wanted to demonstrate that, you know, he could have been close to a 300-yard night.
Farmington tacked on another score late after getting the ball back on downs when Hillsborough went for a deep in their own end of the field. Final score, 54-43, Farmington over Hillsborough. The Knights move on to the district semis at 7-3, where they'll host 6-4 Festus again on a J98. We want to emphasize that it's not going to be on your typical KREI. We do want to accommodate the Festus Tigers fans as well. Make sure those up there will be able to listen to the game, especially since it's a road game for them in Festus. So good opportunity to do that on J98, and you're bumped up to the big guns then. You're normally used to the KREI side of the dial.
Yeah,
then.
That's true, and you know, gives us a chance to get Central, work them in on KREI, so it'd be another fun night.
Hillsborough closes the year at 4-6, the first time in 8 years they haven't finished with at least 8 wins. Final thoughts on the game, Chad?
Well, Hillsborough had such a new team this year. You know, they graduated such a great class last year, and as you can see, they have talent. I mean, that was a sophomore that ran for all those yards. Lee Freeman said, you know, they went through some struggles and a learning curve and things like that. And, yeah, they did hit a trough. I happen to be one of the people that probably saw them play the best when they beat Farmington and when they challenged Farmington. And for the Knights, they take another good positive step forward. As in 2011, they went to the state semifinals. And then, you know, they went through that cycle where you have to build back up again. And Eric Krupe came in and changed systems and kind of installed the culture that he wanted. And now you start to see the fruits of that as well.
And you're seeing the repercussions of ingraining a system in players for years on end. Going into the year, we were saying that this is the first time that his quarterbacks have played the system throughout their entire career as well. And now we're seeing that, you know, again, even with, you know, the quarterback going down, Caden Files stepping in, it was a much easier transition because of that, because he's been running that option attack for years now. Once again, Farmington comes away with the victory over the Hillsborough Hawks by a final score of 54-43. They will take on the Festus Tigers on at J98 this Friday night. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll chat with our guest this evening, head coach Alex Rugley of the Jefferson Blue Jays, along with a trio of his players as well. That's coming up on the backside of this break here on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington.
Hi, this is Brad Smith at Lucas Smith Chrysler Center. Lucas Smith Chrysler is more than just your local Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep dealer. We sell and service to the entire Jefferson County area. So while you're listening to this sports broadcast, no matter if it's the Tigers, the Hornets, the Blue Jays, the Lancers, the Dragons, or the Hawks, remember, we are and we support the entire Jefferson County area and its sports teams. We are Lucas Smith Chrysler Center off Highway A in Festus, your home of the No Bull Deal.
Home of the No Bull Deal. Lucas Smith Chrysler. No Bull.
Here's another selling tip from Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate.
When should you list? Now is a great time. Supply is low, but there are still an adequate number of buyers available. This will give you a greater opportunity of selling due to less competition. Call or text me, Vanessa Trokey, at 573-330-6261. Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate. We'll help you through the selling process from beginning to end. Find us online at coldwellbankerholsey.com and follow us on Facebook.
Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family. You can do it with a swimming pool. Hi, I'm Angie DeClue with Home Pools and Spas. We can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Above ground or in ground, you have a choice of selections. Install now for years of great times.
Everybody's going home, pool and spa.
To see pools and pricing, go to our website, homepoolsandspas.net. Again, I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas, inviting you to stop by. We're located just south of the Ludington exit.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Save money on your car insurance by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Hey, is it always this cold in here?
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me a bit. I just kind of curious because if it's the equipment or something, that's fine. It's just, woo, it's kind of chilly.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Matt Greenwood back with you for J98. It's the Cole Stradner and Equipment Football Roundtable Show, and we're welcoming on the Jefferson Blue Jays head coach Alex Rugley, running back and linebacker Andrew Graves, and linemen Daniel McCorder and Brandon Floyd, and also Nick Lewis joining us as well, as he will have the call of Jefferson and Caruthersville coming up on this Friday. Jefferson getting a 43-8 victory over Malden this past Friday. And before we jump into that, again, this is the Cole Stratton Equipment Football Roundtable Show. We are at J98. And tonight's a special night for you if you want to get out here and get some free wings. It's buy a size boneless and get another size boneless half off. So pretty sweet deal, and I'm certainly going to be using that to my advantage later this evening. But let's first get to this Jefferson-Caruthersville matchup. Coach, last year you and I were talking before we came on. Last year you guys unfortunately fell to East Prairie in the first round. This year a little bit different. You get past Malden, and now you get a Caruthersville team that had a pretty good season as well. What have you seen from them in your film study?
Yeah, they are a very athletic football team, no doubt about that. You know, they have some size up front on both sides of the football. They also are very athletic at the skill positions as well. You know, they have a young quarterback who's kind of transitioned there. They started out with a senior in DeAndre Davis earlier in the year, and then they have some receivers that can make the plays, and they have Nick Moore at the running back position. Who can make plays. He's a very special young man as well. So big back, about 6'1", about 190, 195, who can move. We've got our work cut out for us, but these kids have, like I said, last Friday night after a Malden game, they've had a great, literally whole year of preparation each week on the practice field. We've had a good week so far this week in the young week, but we're excited to see what we're about, you know, this Friday against a very, very good Caruthersville team.
Coach, looking back a little bit, you had the one loss against Valley Catholic when your backup QB was in there. And Valley's a little bit, they're not quite as big as they have been in past years. It sounds like what you're describing from this team that you're about to be facing, they're a little bit more physical maybe, but maybe not as quick as Valley. How would you compare them to one of your greatest challenges so far this season in Valley Catholic?
Yeah, you know, like you said, Valley's not as big as what Caruthersville has. Valley's a very well-coached group, though, you know, and I'm not saying that the Caruthersville's not a well-coached group at all, but Valley plays hard. They play extremely hard. Caruthersville kids play extremely hard as well. We were able to, it's kind of where you kind of compare a little bit. You know, I know Valley had played Caruthersville earlier in the year. I think Valley's a completely different team right now in a better fashion than they were earlier in the year. They've improved like they always do each year. And, you know, I think that it's kind of one of those things that it's kind of comparing apples to oranges, so to say, if you're looking at that game. So, I think that that Valley game made us better as a football team. It makes you go back and kind of reflect a little bit as a coach and maybe as a player. And, you know, it made us a better football team, made us a better coaching staff. I know that. And we're going to continue to try to get better each week and week in and week out.
So if that's apples to oranges, what's a team that maybe you have faced this year that compares favorably to Caruthersville?
I think a team that we faced week two, Roosevelt, is very, very comparable to Caruthersville. I think Caruthersville's a little bit, I don't want to say they're not bigger up front, but they're a little more athletic up front than Roosevelt was. Roosevelt was extremely dynamic on the edges, as well as their quarterback was phenomenal. I think he's thrown for over 2,500 yards this year. You know, Roosevelt's, they haven't lost a game since they played us. You know, they're 8-2 right now, getting ready to play Rockwood Summit. So we told the kids that was a good football team that you guys beat on week two. So we knew that they win some football games, and they won the PHL championship. So I think that's a very that's a good comparison to kind of compare the both teams, just because you're seeing that athleticism, you're seeing that speed. And I think our kids being able to go up against a Roosevelt early in the year and a Bishop DeBerg and so on and so forth helped us prepare for a moment like this Friday.
You know, Nick brought up Valley Catholic and how they're really a good team to play at any point in the season to figure out where you guys currently stand as a program in the season. And I believe you were, 4-0 going into that game?
We're 5-0. Yeah.
And you took the loss there, and then you responded quite nicely and picked up wins against St. Pius, St. Vincent, Crystal City. Can't remember who the other one was. But you didn't exactly have easy games after the Valley Catholic game. And a lot of teams go through ups and downs in a season. Some just skirt right through it and have a pretty easy year, and they get to the playoffs and they dominate the playoffs. But that's not what you kind of get with a lot of teams from around this area. So when you look at how your team responded to that loss and, you know, beat a very tough St. Pius team and held on against an up-and-coming St. Vincent team, in those victories, how much do you feel like your team has grown since? Obviously, your team has grown from the Valley Catholic game, yeah, but also winning those tight contests like you did against, yeah, St. Pius, St. Vincent.
Those games were so, so important for us. You know, it's awesome how competitive our conference really got this year, and it's pretty neat to see that. You know, we have, I think, 4 conference teams right now playing Week 11. That's neat. You know, that's pretty neat for our conference. I'm real proud of all of our coaches in our conference. You know, like you said, an up-and-coming St. Vincent game or team. Every year that I've been, I either played St. Vincent when I was at Herky in the late 90s or I coached against St. Vincent, it has been a knockdown, drag-out fight. And, you know, I think these kids were prepared for that. We weren't prepared. I don't know that we were prepared to how it happened week 9. You know, literally winning 21-7 with about 3.5 minutes to go and the ball in our hands to kind of run it out to where it's 21-20. The next thing you know, it's 21-20, and they're going for 2 to win the game as time has basically expired. So, you know, that's kudos to those kids. And that helped us continue to grow as a football team. You know, whenever you're able to pull out wins like that, it makes you better. It really does. And I'd rather, you know, it's easier to have a blowout win, you know, but it makes you better if you have those close games. I firmly believe that. And those close games, that close game, you know, that St. Pius game like you talked about, you know, the Valley game, that was a close game. It was 14-0 and had a chance being 14-7 with about 6 minutes left. You know, we just kind of ran out a little bit of gas there on the one-yard line. But, you know, you learn from that stuff, and it makes you better. It makes you better overall, and that's what we want. We're trying to develop kids and also to develop a program, and that type of stuff, again, will make you better in the long run.
Speaking of kids, Coach, perfect time to bring them in. As we mentioned, running back, linebacker for you, Andrew Graves, as well as lineman Daniel McCorder and Brandon Floyd with us. Guys, I'll address my question first to Daniel. As Coach alluded to, you want the tight games. You want the games where you're challenged to the very last play or the very last 2 minutes, if you will. And St. Vincent, St. Pius, you know, St. Pius sort of faded a little bit as the fourth quarter progressed. You guys were able to pull away and win that one. But St. Vincent is sort of different from St. Pius. You were actually up a good chunk late, and then St. Vincent makes a late rally. But for you as the center of this team, the guy that's got to make sure every exchange is clean and every block up the middle is clean for you, when you get into those battles as a player, how much do you feel like you grow?
I feel like those games like really make us a lot better as a group. We prepare all week, especially like St. Vincent. We knew it was going to be a fight. Coach preached it all week. All of our coaches did, and that they were like really talky, I guess you could say. We had heard that from other teams, and it's just something that like we were like looking forward to. We knew like to the end we were going to have to just keep driving up and down the field. If it wasn't for the last 4 minutes of the game, I think they would have shut down. But I think those are definitely the games to look forward to, for sure.
For you, it's been it's been different between your junior year and where you are now, in terms of where you're relied upon to play football. You were tied in last year, moved to the center position, and even in training camp, when I talked to you, I was like, "Huh, this guy's going to be the center, okay?" Like. But from the sense of your size, I'm like, okay, maybe there's room to grow. And that was the first thing that I kind of noticed. So when they brought you your food earlier, I'm like, okay, he's definitely beefed up. And obviously that comes with a positional change. For you, what was that like, that experience to have to add on the pounds to be able to play the position you do?
Well, center, I think it speaks for itself, is like the center of the offense, really, like pushes everything. like communicates with the outside, like tackles through guards and even tight end. And I knew, like, I need to fill these shoes, like some big old shoes that I want to win. I want to be like the best team to ever come through here. And I knew I need to put on some weight, so that's what I did. I ate a lot and definitely worked really hard in the weight room. So
I was going to say, I know Coach Rugley is the strength and conditioning coach for, is it all athletics? Or just
all athletics. Yep.
And, I mean, I saw it on the volleyball court with Ashley Edmond. That yep. girl is...
She's strong.
She is strong. Yep. So I know that you have the right sort of nutrition program, I guess you should say. But what does Coach Rugley put you through? What does he do to help you build up that muscle that you need for your position?
For me personally, every time I'm either squatting or benching, he is right there just watching, saying, you better get every single rep. I don't care if you're tired or anything. He's right there. He's right there blaring his favorite AC/DC CD, just blaring it all and getting in your face because he wants you to be the best you can be. And kudos to you, Coach. Thank you for that.
I appreciate that.
No problem. Feeding your ruffles every time you make that full squat or something
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nick, you got anything for Daniel?
Yeah, man. I mean, I know that you're one of the captains of this team. All of you guys are. And what was that process like going from a junior to a senior and knowing it, the buck really stops with this group of guys? What was that like?
Last year's seniors were really like a big part of, you know, pulling all of us together. And senior Dakota Jackalback was like my mentor. And I knew that I was going to be filling his shoes next year. And I was like, I really need to pick it up. So, I mean, those guys really told me, like, really gave me a sense of, like, urgency to, I need to step up for this team and be a leader. So that's really what it is.
I'm interested sort of what we often talk to running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, linebackers, safeties, corners, whoever. We don't often get a chance to talk to the center. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the center of the offense. When it comes to film study, what is Coach Rugley or what is your offensive line coach, what are they asking you to look for when you study the film for your games?
Really where the defensive like tackles, like interior guys are lined up, or if like they're bringing, like really bringing the middle linebackers, and like how, like if they're creeping up or whatever, like look, keep your eyes up is what they always say. So that's really like what we preach. We watch tons of film all the time.
I bet.
Just replaying the same thing, looking at every little detail in every single team. So that's really what we look for.
And when you look at film, and you know, from a broadcaster's perspective, when I first got into it, it was weird to hear my own voice on radio.
Yeah.
I can imagine it's a little bit weird to see yourself playing on the football field and being dissected the way you have to be during film study. So what's that experience like to sit there every weekend or whatever it is and be like, oh, yeah, there I am snapping the ball to this guy or calling out that defensive guy that's coming on?
Mm-hmm. You really, like, self-evaluate, like, look at the little things that you need to fix, like footwork especially, like with Coach Atlee, he's not here, but we really preach footwork, and I'm like, oh, man, I need to fix that, so I need to fix it in practice, or if I'm snapping the ball too high or too low to get extra snaps with Tommy after practice, or just, like, every little really detail.
Okay, very well. Brandon, let's move on to you. You're another lineman for this Jefferson Blue Jays team, and you're a guy that I remember a lot of when I first got here 2 years ago. You're on that line with Clinton and Jackabeck, and now it feels like when it comes to leading the rush attack, you're relied on a lot to be able to get the blocks for Andrew Graves. The jump from your junior year to senior year, what improvements have you seen in your game that you feel like have prepared you for a potential, you know, postseason run against some really good defenses?
I play a lot more faster than my junior year, and I'm a lot smarter of a player. Like, I can see the field better, and I know what Andrew wants to do with the ball and where he wants to move, so I know how to make my blocks and what Andrew is going to do with the ball next.
How's it been like to have Daniel as a teammate on the line? What I see him smile. I'm sure it's something you guys probably talk about a lot as to, you know, how one can get better and all that good stuff. But, yeah, what do you think about Daniel's performance this year, and what are some of the conversations that you guys have on the O-line?
He stepped up big time. There was almost – I mean, there's a little transition from losing Ridge Bickle, but he stepped up and – he's really, he filled the hole perfect, and he's doing great. He's a vocal leader on the line too, and He plays really fast and really smart, too.
Andrew Graves, I know when you came into the season, he knew it was at stake in terms of state records. Everybody that pays attention to Jefferson football knew it was at stake, and Graves has gotten himself up there and in terms of some of the best in state all time. And your name's going to be attached to that. Maybe not necessarily, in the record books, but for Andrew Graves, he's always going to remember Brandon Floyd helping him get those yards, helping him be one of the best stat-wise in the state record books. Have any of you guys ever talked about that this year, about, what Andrew's been able to do and sort of had that thought, hey, I'm the guy that's – or one of the guys, one of the five guys that's helped him get to this point?
Yeah, we've talked about it, but at the end of the day, I'm not the guy running the ball. Andrew is, and you don't get a lot of backs like that in high school, and I love blocking for him.
You guys run the football a heck of a lot. You don't throw it nearly as much as you run it. That's just by design. That's a big reason, because you have a guy like Graves. What's the focus like in practice between pass blocking and run blocking? How do you kind of divide that up as far as percentage-wise?
We do both pretty equally. We do a lot of details on run block and a lot of details on pass pro. We have a five-man sled, and we push that day in, day out for run block and stuff. And that really helps our, push up front and our run game.
This Jefferson team continues to, every year do something greater than the previous team. And we all, you guys know that last year was a first-round exit, an unfortunate exit to East Prairie. But at the same time, and then you go in and you face a couple of tough opponents, or quite a few tough opponents this season. But for you, when it comes to thinking about how you're going to keep winning football, and you've got Caruthersville coming up, how do you feel you are, in terms of readiness for a potential deep playoff run? Do you feel like you guys can do it?
Coach has always got us preparing hard every week and working our tails off, and I think we're always ready for anyone you throw at us.
And from a film perspective, what's your take on Caruthersville at this point?
They're big up front and athletic and physical, and their backfield's crazy athletic too. But I think we're going to be ready this week, and I think it's going to be a good game.
And we did talk about sort of the O-line presence for you and Daniel, but I've neglected to talk about the defensive side. You play defense as well.
Yes,
from an offensive side, he was talking. Coach Rugley was talking about the athletic running back that they have back there, 6'1", 190-ish or whatever. When you, as a defensive lineman, game plan for a guy of that skill, what are some things that you're working on?
We're really just focusing on our rules and making sure that we can open up holes for our backers to fill and make plays.
All right, very well. All right, Andrew, I think it's your turn. I think you've been waiting patiently enough. This team, give us your thoughts as to, the win against Malden last week and going into this week against Caruthersville.
I think we're a very strong team this year, and we got a lot of good things going for us. And there hasn't been very many teams that have been able to stop our run game, and I think that our linemen have been phenomenal, and all the with the passes that we have made have been good passes, and people just don't expect it. So I think we're looking pretty good.
When you came into this senior year, you had battled you had lost the rest of your season halfway through last year due to a leg injury, and coming in here, I think Coach Rugley, a lot of his thought was, I got to protect Andrew Graves. I got to make sure he is healthy by the time we get to these playoffs. And can you give us an update as to how your leg's doing?
My leg's doing good. I haven't had any problems with it this year, knock on wood.
Right.
But, I felt great this year. I didn't want to be protected, but I understood, why a little bit. And I think towards the end of the year, he didn't really protect me at all. So, which was
it's time to rock and roll.
Yeah,
right.
Perfectly fine with me. So I feel great, definitely.
And Colby Ott. I know Coach Rugley gushes about him, and I just want to kind of get your perspective, sort of your thoughts on Colby Ott, a sophomore running back that, obviously from week one performed well enough to where Coach Rugley could rely on him to,
give you that second half break, because honestly you were beating up on a lot of teams early on and you had a chance to kind of just play defense and focus on defense in the second half. But how big has Colby Ott's performance this year as a sophomore been to y'all's success?
He's a stud. He's doing amazing this year. We couldn't ask for anything better from him. He stepped up when Tanner Davis got towards ACL this year, and he filled his shoes and he filled them good.
And defensively, I mean, as Coach let me know earlier, 8 interceptions this year, currently second in the STL Metro in interceptions. So defensively, he's a stud as well. And let's talk about your defense also. You're a guy that stands in the middle of that defense as a linebacker, though. You make a lot of great tackles. You're very athletic. I imagine you could probably cover a lot of wide receivers and are asked to do so if you face that, you know, that crossing pattern wide receiver or whatever have you. But from a defensive standpoint, how do you feel about this Jefferson defense? If you look at the numbers, they look pretty good.
Yeah, we're definitely dominating this year, and this is the first defense I think that we've had that has just really been dominant and not given up the big plays that we have been in the past. And it's just you got to drive on us this year, and that's really nice to have that.
As the level of intensity, the level of play increases as playoff time goes on, you face better teams every single week. Do you change game plan wise at all on defense, or is it kind of the same that you've been doing all season?
Yeah, we adjust to their defense, but we try to stay in our base stuff as much as possible. But we switch from man and zone coverage a lot, depending on the athletes that they have out there and stuff like that.
How in practice do you simulate those athletes? Because like you just said, they get bigger, they get faster, they get stronger, all of that stuff. What do you do there?
Usually Ben Breeze has been a huge practice player this year. He's been giving us the best looks possible. I mean, he's a really good running back, and he hasn't been playing defense this year, so he's been on our scout team O, and he's played just about where their best player's at. He's been playing there, and he's been giving us great looks.
I don't know who's going to answer this first, Coach Rugley or you, Andrew, but you guys have had 4 years to develop that coach relationship, and I can't help but think at some level a friendship, and I don't know how important that is, you know, to the overall success as a team. Well, I do know how important it is, but I sort of want to get your gauge on how important it is that you guys are such a tight-knit group. You've been with Coach Rugley for 4 years now. Not only do you see him on the football field, but you see him, you know, during track season as well, strength and conditioning. I mean, you got to work on that as well. But I imagine that coach-to-player relationship / friendship means a lot to you guys moving forward.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's huge. We have such a good bond, and we trust each other so much that we can tell each other anything that's going through our mind during the game, or if I have a play call that I want to run or something, I can talk to him about it, and he'll trust me. And I think that's huge, the trust that we have in each other. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's one of those deals. These guys, like you said, I've had them since their freshman year, and they're my kids. You know, right. they're not the previous coach's kids, and each one of those kids that I've previous senior class that I've had since I've been here are my kids too. I think of them like that. But you know, these young men, these three young men right here, and our other 8 seniors that are back home, we all think alike. It's really interesting. They understand. They kind of know what I'm thinking. I understand what they're thinking. We talk to each other, and the communication process of that is huge. And if you're able to communicate with your players and develop that rapport with your players, that trust factor, really good things can happen. And I think that they understand that Coach Rugley and Coach Atlee and Coach Casey and all of our other coaches, we trust each other. You know, we trust them. They trust us. And that communication process is just huge and huge asset for us as a football program and as a team, just for the simple fact that, you know, we can count on one another. And whenever you can do that, a lot of times you can have a lot of success.
All right, 2 more quick things. Daniel, Brandon, your thoughts on what those two were just talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we've been together for 4 years, and, you know, we spend almost every day together with sports and over the summer and strength and conditioning and stuff. And, you know, we developed a real close bond, and I think this is probably the closest senior class we've had since I've been around. And, you know, I think we all can almost talk without speaking, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
I think we can tell what each other, like what we're all thinking, and we can make decisions as a team.
Daniel?
I'm a little bit different from these two. I didn't play my freshman year, sadly. But even though I didn't play, Coach Rugley, he was always there for me. You know, talking about basketball, like how's home, how's track. He's my track coach. And then I feel like me and him have just built so much since then. Like, I know I can talk to him about anything, home life, basketball, other sports, girls, even though he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, actually, you can help prep him for his son that he's got getting older in terms of the girlfriend things. All right, Coach, I just want to wrap up this segment. Your thoughts on what it's going to take to beat Crothersville and keep on moving on.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those games where the team that makes the fewest mistakes, I guess that's probably the old cliche, will win. But it's so true. Whenever you're playing a very good opponent, like you said, Nick, they're getting better every week. And that's the way it should be. That's what we talk to our kids. It should be like this. That's the way the playoffs, you shouldn't go from playing a 3-6 team to playing another 2-7 team. It should be 3-6 or 4-4 or whatever to 8-2. You know, that's the way it should be. And so we've got to make sure we take care of business, take care of the football, tackle really well. We talk about pursuit to the football all the time with our kids these past couple of weeks, really every week, but really these past couple of weeks. And I believe if we continue to do that, and focus on the limiting the penalties and focus on the fine-tuning the little details, we're going to be all right this Friday.
All right, very well. Well, Coach, thank you very much for being on here. That's Alex Rugley.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
I want to thank Andrew Graves as well, running back for the Blue Jays, Daniel McCorder, and Brandon Floyd, offensive and defensive linemen for Coach Rugley and the Blue Jays. Again, it's Jefferson and it's Crothersville. And that's going to be Friday at 7 o'clock. And that's where again, Coach?
That's at Jefferson High School.
There you go. And the other semifinal matchup in their bracket is St. Pius and Charleston. So could potentially see a rematch there in the district championship 2 weeks from today, I guess. So, all right, that's it for the Coach Speak segment. We're going to go ahead and step aside here from Buffalo Wild Wings for a couple minutes. Again, you come out here and you buy one size boneless, and you get that same size half off. So pretty sweet deal here. But we're going to step aside here for a couple minutes, come back with your play of the week, and then we'll talk about our player of the week, our Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Play It Forward Athlete of the Week. We'll talk about that next as well. And also coming up later on in the show, we'll preview the rest of our district games on regional radio, and we'll look back at those that we lost in Week 10 of the season and then give you our NFL picks. So that's all coming up next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Roundtable Show here on J98.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
Hopkins Floor Company in Festus is your one-stop shop for all your flooring and cabinet home improvement product needs. For the entire month of October, Hopkins has Breeze Fit flooring at the lowest price guaranteed. Breeze Fit is a revolutionary new waterproof flooring that looks like wood and holds up like ceramic, and it is a breeze to install yourself. Come in today and see the real wood look of Breeze Fit flooring. That's Hopkins Floor Company, Highway 67 south of Festus, or check out hopkinsfloorco.com.
Do you have a breast cancer survivor in your life? Do you know someone who is currently battling and fighting the good fight?
Well, J90A, the fabulous Fox Theater, Silver Elite Fleet, and our participating sponsors would like to recognize all of those who are pretty in pink warriors.
On MIMOinfo.com, you can now register the pink lady or ladies in your life, as well as submit a story and request a song for the music special on November 1st at 1 o'clock.
Each winner plus three guests will be taken to see Anastasia, the new Broadway musical at the fabulous Fox Theater on December 26th in the luxurious Mercedes transportation from Silver Elite Fleet.
Anastasia will transport us from the twilight of the Russian Empire to the euphoria of Paris in the 1920s.
Register the pretty in pink warrior in your life today for her chance to see this award-winning show at the fabulous Fox Theater in St. Louis.
For complete Pretty in Pink details or to enter, go to MIMOinfo.com and look for Pretty in Pink on the homepage.
Interstate Regional Stockyards announces a special cow sale this Friday beginning at 6:30 p.m. Early consignments include heifers out of the popular AI Angus Bull Coleman Charo 0256 and F1 Hereford Angus Dams. This special cow sale at Interstate Regional Stockyards in Cuba is expecting 400 head. That's the special cow sale at Interstate Regional Stockyards this Friday the 2nd at 6:30 p.m. in Cuba. For more information, call 573-885-7431.
Did you know that prescription drugs are becoming the drugs of choice by young adults? Please keep track of the prescription drugs in your home. Drugs hurt, drugs harm, drugs destroy. During Red Ribbon Week, stand up against drugs. Show your support by wearing a red ribbon. Together, we will make a difference. Action Auto Sales in Steelville ask that you support to be drug-free by wearing a red ribbon. Together, we will make a difference. Halloween can be fun for everyone with parties, costumes, decorations, and treats. Keep safety in mind as you celebrate this holiday. Trick-or-treat in a neighborhood you know. Make this Halloween a safe one. This Halloween safety tip brought to you by the South Iron School District in Annapolis.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at your local retailer today.
Madison Medical Center offers same-day physician appointments. Hi, I'm Jennifer Pennell with Madison Medical Center, and when you or a loved one needs medical attention, time is of the essence. Not only are we close to home, but our physicians and nurse practitioners can see you the same day you call, which ensures faster treatment and a quicker recovery. Madison Medical Center, committed to community, committed to care. Meet our physicians and nurse practitioners and learn more about our full range of services online at madisonmedicalcenter.net.
This time, Harris gets it, breaks two tackles, breaks another one. He's to the 10. He's going for the 5. Dives for the end zone. How'd he do it?
I don't know.
Royce Harris from 22 yards out. He was completely in jail, but he stole the key from the jailer and broke free. And he's got his third touchdown run of the night.
Surprisingly, that is only the second play of the game that we, or play of the week that we've gotten from Royce Harris so far. Dating all the way back to week one with his punt return touchdown is the other one for Royce Harris. The other ones throughout the season. Week two is a Seth Lounsbury long touchdown for Seckman. Sizemore in week three had one for the Hillsboro Hawks. Grant Staffin had his pick six for St. Genevieve in week four. Andrew Graves outran the opposition for a touchdown in week five. North County's Jalen Reed had a 99-yard fumble return for a touchdown in week six. Week seven was Clayton Snudden's game-winning touchdown from Briar Fisher. In week eight, it was Sooner, the St. Genevieve reverse pass back to the quarterback, Logan Gegg. And last week, it was a 4th-and-15 Festus reverse to Jaden Rystrom for the touchdown. Matt is now tied with Chad for 3 on the season. Andy's got 2. Nick and I have 1 apiece. We also want to talk about player of the week and Royce Harris of Farmington. So, Chad, you were just talking to Royce a little bit before, and we touched on it a little bit earlier on, but a really impressive week for Royce Harris.
It was an impressive week on the field, and, you know, as we talked a little earlier, really impressed with him as a person as well, Sean, and he has decided that the $25 from Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy will go toward the Farmington Ministerial Alliance Food Pantry, an organization that he believes in and an organization that he helps out and donates his time to. So a real nice, thoughtful way for Royce to use his athlete of the week as well.
Yeah, certainly, as they've all been so far this season, a good cause, although none of them have been to a bad cause, the Sean Malone Vacation Foundation. Now, preview next week with the teams that are still alive. Week 11 of the district's semifinals. On J98, Farmington is hosting Festus in this one. Chad, you've seen plenty of Farmington this year, and is there any chance Tyson Gray is going to be back for this game?
Well, you know, they kind of hope every week, and he still hasn't had contact in practice. And you know, they kind of say, well, maybe it's this week, and so you just don't know. You know, it was a stress fracture in his foot, and you know, I mean, you want to be cautious with every athlete, but, you know, this is also a kid that has a college athletic career in front of him, too. And he's also a kid, too, that I mean, if he does anything close to what he's done the last few years, Sean, he's going to become the all-time leading scorer in Farmington basketball history. So, you know, there's a lot to consider his own, make him feel good. You hope he gets to go out his senior year by playing instead of sitting on the sideline, because you know that's what he wants to do. This has been a fun series, Festus and Farmington. They used to play a lot during the regular season, and the last four meetings, in fact, they've split. So it's been a really nice regular season series. They're going to actually continue it next year, Farmington and Festus back on the schedule. But a playoff game should be fun. And, you know, a couple of running teams, it's kind of that wing T for Festus and the option attack for Farmington. And, we say it again and again, Royce Harris is kind of what they're built on, and the big plays there, but the offensive line gets it done. And for Farmington, they have this knack. They once again got outgained this week by about 100 yards, and yet they won. And, you know, they make a habit of that, and, you know, it's the hidden yards, the kick returns. They recovered a fumble in the end zone. They find ways to beat you. If you have a weakness, if you make an error, Farmington is a team that will just capitalize on that. For Festus, Matt, you've seen them a couple times. I mean, they have like this whole stable of backs in the backfield, and it seems like every week that, you know, there's another guy. Oh, he's a running back. And you can't just key on one guy. Whereas, you know, for Farmington, they'll give the ball to other people, but it's Royce Harris's game.
Yeah, and Sean and I were talking about it earlier. You know, you got Austin Anderson, Chalmer Brickhouse, Jaden Rystrom, Jack Robinson. All these guys can, you know, they can make plays. And, you know, Coach Schmidt has a lot of playmakers, and they certainly did a great job against DeSoto. You know, Coach Schmidt found the two guys that were going to take him to the house, and that was a lot of Chalmer Brickhouse and Austin Anderson. And then the third guy, I mean, that's the thing. You think it's one or two guys for Festus, but it really isn't. It is at least three, sometimes four guys that can get up to that 100-yard rushing mark. And I think going into this matchup, the fact that they were able to dominate DeSoto the way they did will give them more confidence, I think, than the one-point loss to the Class 6 Troy Buchanan team.
Well, I think what I like about the matchup is you probably have a couple of teams that are playing their best for Festus. I think you can even go back to that. It's a Class 6 ball club, right? And they played really well, and that kind of springboarded them. I mean, they only beat DeSoto by 10 points earlier in the year. They beat them by 30 last week.
Right, and it was a four-point game in that fourth quarter, which some people might forget. But from a defensive standpoint, Festus clearly showed that they can hang with a pass offense. So if, you know, they stop the run from Farmington and force them to throw the football, they've got some athletic guys that can make plays. I think offensively, both teams are right where they want to be. You know, when you put up 36 against DeSoto, and then for Farmington you put up 54 against Hillsborough, that's 90 points between the two in their victories. That tells me that offensively they're comfortable with what they know how to do, and they're going to stick to it. And we could see another 50-40 game here because of just how explosive Farmington's offense is.
You think it'll be a high-scoring one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Meanwhile, over on AM 800 KREI, the Central Rebels, they're hosting the Dexter Bearcats, a team that beat Central earlier this year. And Andy, you're going to be on KREI covering this one. You know, you talked with Coach Swice, I believe, after that loss against Dexter. And I don't know if that was kind of a trap game for them. Was that kind of maybe what they were saying about that game?
Well, I mean, he just wasn't really impressed with what he saw from his group. He knows that he can play a little bit better than just a 13-7 final score. And so far, I think they have. They've shown some really good signs of getting back to what they're used to being, and they showed that against Fredericktown over the weekend. And, you know, they've changed up a few things. I mean, after that loss, Coach Schweiss, he went with some different lineups, tried to get a few guys or a few different role players in there during the Farmington game, tried to continue that into Fredericktown. It worked really well. So we'll see what happens this week. And Dexter's going to be playing with a lot of confidence as well. They will not be, you know, coming into this one, into Park Hills, you know, laying over. I mean, this is a different time of year. So both teams are going to be at their best, I think.
Meanwhile, on AM 1400 KJF, Matt, Seckman at Fox, two teams that, because of some circumstances, we normally don't have the opportunity to cover, but now that it's the playoffs, we do, and we're looking forward to this game. Should be a fun one.
I tell you, this Fox team, it's unfortunate that there are certain circumstances that don't allow us to broadcast their games, because they've just been tearing just about every team up from this area, and even from the St. Louis metro area. They're playing a Sekman team that this year is their historically their best year ever, with the six wins, a little more than midway through the season. Sekman, you know, guaranteed themselves an above 500 record for the first time ever in school history. So I don't know how much they can rely back on that to, you know, into this matchup against Fox, because last time Fox did shut them out 49-0. So it's going to be a different approach for Sekman. I think they're going to have to change their game a little bit against Fox. They can't just stick with Lounsbury throwing the football, and they can't just stick with Drew Campbell running the football. It's going to have to be a mix of different things, and maybe some misdirection, trick plays, maybe, you know, go a little out of the comfort zone. And honestly, when you talk to Coach Baker for Sekman, he seems like the kind of coach that is okay with that. He's not uncomfortable taking his offense out of their comfort zone. So, obviously, like I said, Sekman's going to have to change some things up. Can't go into the Fox game trying to win that game the same way they did in their 49-0 loss. And as for Fox, Gavin McGinnis, senior quarterback, Cole Elwood, senior running back, Bob Nybert, senior fullback. They are senior heavy on offense. They have this offense down pat. You can see it in the numbers. So this should be a very, very good game. And Fox's defense is certainly one that you cannot overlook. They have 14 sacks as a team. They've recovered 15 fumbles as a team, and they have 10 interceptions on the year as a team. Those are really, really strong numbers from a defense in high school. So, looking forward to having that one on KJF, Fox and Sekman.
And on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Crothersville will visit Jefferson. Nick, we were just hearing from the Jefferson Blue Jays, and you're going to have a chance to cover that game and see them again.
Yeah, I am, and it's going to be a tough one. You know, you look at Crothersville, only a few losses, and both of their losses to really good teams, including Haiti, who, you know, we saw what they did to Crystal City last week in a, I think it was 86-0 affair. So it's not going to be easy for Jefferson, but what they have to their advantage is they're hosting, and they, of course, have Andrew Graves. And Andrew Graves can make up for a lot of issues you might have. And if he is able to carry this offense like he has so many times this year, then Jefferson's going to be in business. It's going to be a great game, though. I expect a close one.
Other games throughout the listening area. Potosi is at Kennett. St. Pius will visit Charleston. Scott City is on the road taking on Valley Catholic. And St. Vincent will be at Hayti. Those are the games coming up in week 11 of the high school football season. And unfortunately, some teams didn't make it that far as we take a look back at those we lost in week 10 of the season.
The 1-9 Crystal City Hornets and the 5-5 DeSoto Dragons, led by head coach Chris Johnson.
Rome is not built in 2 days. I mean, it takes a while, and so every year we're getting better, we're getting better, we're getting better, we're building. We're going to go back to it, and we're going to build again. We're going to come back out, and we're going to be swinging again next year.
The 0-10 Grandview Eagles and the 2-8 Fredericktown Blackcats, led by head coach Chuck Ford.
I expect them to rise up and lead, just like I expect the juniors this year to do so as seniors, and the freshmen step up into their role.
The 3-7 Herculaneum Black Cats and the 4-6 Hillsborough Hawks, led by head coach Lee Freeman.
The future should be relatively bright for us, and I think that if we can get to work in the offseason.
The 5-5 North County Raiders and the 5-5 Northwest Lions, who are headed up by head coach Corey Tenius.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very proud of these guys. We, you know, finished with 5 wins this season. It's the most our school's had since 1999. So, you know, in these seniors' lifetime, we've never won that many games.
The 4-6 Berryville Pirates, who are coached by Blaine Boss.
We should have a lot of guys coming back. We have a pretty big junior class, so, I think we got all our line coming back. We get healthy. Like I said, we probably lost our best lineman week 4, so he should be back. And, I'm excited. I'm excited for the future.
The 2-8 Windsor Owls and the 7-3 at St. Genevieve Dragons, who are coached by Ken Weick.
The group that's coming up truly has to make a decision. They got to make it now, you know. And for me, it's going to be pretty easy. I told them what I was going to just tell them every time I saw them in the hall. And they decided they needed to go home after school instead of coming to the weight room. I said, I'm just going to stay triple overtime.
Those are the teams we lost in week 10 of the high school football season. As we now turn our attention to Mizzou, the Missouri Tigers, they fell in the final seconds to 13th-ranked Kentucky Wildcats. After the game, head coach Barry Odom says the lack of execution is why the Tigers couldn't convert a first down in the second half.
I thought our execution wasn't able to stand up down the stretch, and I think they made some plays too. I will give them credit. They're a really good team, especially defensively. It took away a lot of things that normally we have, you know, either some room or opportunities to complete a pass. And
Andy, you were there in the studio listening to that game, unfortunately for you. Heartbreaking second half. Yeah. Drew Locke, I'm a Giants fan. We're in the market for a quarterback. What is up with Drew Locke? No wins against ranked opponents, and yet he has a flop like this in a big game in the second. Not a single first down?
Yes, they are concerns. I agree. I think he might be a little overrated as far as draft stock. And, you know, he's a really nice quarterback. He's, you know, and we're starting to have these questions. It's just seeming, you know, he's really good at the deep ball. Can really do well throwing it 15, 20 yards downfield at least. But some of the simple throws are starting to escape him. And I don't put it all on Drew Locke on not getting a single first down in the second half. You got to put that a little bit on the coaching staff too. There was a questionable decision as to, you know, trying to get a third and two late in the game. They decided to pass in their own end, and a run would have forced Kentucky to take its last timeout and then have to drive down the field with no timeouts, which would have made it difficult for them. We were talking during the cut there that there was an egregious defensive pass interference call.
It was terrible.
That
I don't get it.
That then warranted an untimed down that that Kentucky used to score the game-winning touchdown. And so a lot of things went wrong for Missouri after they had gotten a pick that would have really sealed it, and everybody thought that was going to seal it late. And everything that went wrong did. They had a chance to beat a ranked team for the first time in 4 years, and let it slip through the fingers. And they're not winning this weekend. And by the way, they're not winning this weekend at Florida.
You should still tune in either way, as the game will be on AM 800 KREI and AM 1400 K. Jeff Mizzou taking on 13th-ranked Florida with a 3 o'clock kickoff and 1 o'clock pregame show with Tiger Talk set for 6 o'clock on AM 800 KREI. As we now turn to the NFL pick'em, and well, there's another change in the standings. Chad and I are tied for second place, as Nick has now taken first place, surging since he's made it here to the Southeast area. He's in first with 64%. Chad and I, 63.63%, were tied for second. The coach is in fourth with 60.33%, while the players right behind them, 58.42. Matt is at 55.37%. On Twitter, you guys are at 52.06%, and Andy, 50.41%, towing that 50% line with the coin, making the decisions for you.
That's right. Hey, I would not have been doing any better under my own inhibition, so that's where we're going with.
I love the confidence from you. As we turn now to week 9 on the season, we start off Thursday night with San Francisco hosting the Oakland Raiders in this one. This could be one of those stinkers that we get on Thursday night football. I think San Francisco comes out the winner of that game, though, over the Oakland Raiders. So does Chad. Matt.
Honestly, the last game I thought was going to be a stinker turned out to be a pretty good one, Colts and Raiders on Sunday afternoon. But it's at San Francisco, but that's not really anything. That's not home field advantage. Oakland's right next door. So I'll take the Raiders, and so are the players from the Jefferson Blue Jays.
Nick?
As the new first place player in this game, I would like to say that I've figured out the NFL. And one of the things that I've figured out is when you have two bad teams that are both struggling, you pick the home team. I've got San Francisco. Coach Rugley doesn't agree, though. He's got Oakland.
It's not really home, though.
With that comment, the football god about to make you go 0-13 this
week. The thing is, nobody knows the NFL. Come on,
There's a Golden Gate Bridge that separates the two cities. That's it.
Good point.
All righty. Moment of
Let's
truth,
see if you
everybody.
Catch it this time. Yeah, I tried to tell you to go digital.
One drop. We're not going to let technology corrupt this.
We're not.
Right? Come on.
We're not cavemen.
We're going with Oakland.
Oakland Raiders. Go. So now we turn to the Sunday games. The Chicago Bears are visiting the Buffalo Bills. Nathan Peterman, who's thrown an interception on 12% of his passes, is going to be the starter. They've announced Derek Anderson out for the game, I believe, with a concussion. So give me Chicago either way, but definitely give me Chicago now that I know that. Chad also taking Chicago. Matt, which way are you going?
Chicago for me, Chicago for the players.
I think this is pretty much Chicago all the way around. Except
for the court.
Chicago, yep, Chicago.
Everyone's got Chicago on my end.
And Nick there. Let's see if the coin does. That's not a good flip. We're going to keep going here. Yeah, Chicago.
Chicago as well. Even the coin knows better. Continuing with the Sunday games, the Kansas City Chiefs, they are taking on the Cleveland Browns. Hugh Jackson's last act as head coach of the Cleveland Browns was to finish in a tie in a power struggle with offensive coordinator Todd Haley. both of them are out. They've been fired. Even if they were there, I wouldn't view it as a plus. So give me Kansas City either way and Patrick Mahomes. Give Chad Kansas City. This could be another one that goes around the horn.
Yes, yeah, certainly will be for me and the Jefferson players as well. And just one quick little note as well, I beat your Mahomes this week in fantasy football.
You know,
Sean,
what? I do want to throw out there, that was a weird night game for me, because in my other league with my family, I was playing my uncle who had Gostowski and made it close too. So it was one of those, like, I needed the perfect scenario to win it, and I'm okay that I won that league instead of this one. I'm in better shape in our league.
I'm just saying, at 2-6, that's my signature win of the year, and I could just throw in the towel now.
Nick.
Coach Ruggley's on the Chiefs, and you know I am.
And Andy, what does the coin say for you?
Well, the coin with the state of Missouri on the back.
That was the worst throw I have ever seen.
Thank you, Matt.
Count it as it lands next time.
No.
Where'd it go?
It's underneath the power strip.
You're going to have to make a pick. We lost the coin.
All right, we'll move on from Andy in the meantime. It's the New York Jets visiting the Miami Dolphins. I've got the Jets on this one. Miami, I think if Brocktober continues, it's going to be troublesome for them. So give me the Jets and give Chad the Jets in this one. Matt, which way are you leaning?
I don't know if it's a good thing or not that me and the Jefferson players have been on the same exact picks through the first three.
It's not good for the Jefferson players looking at the standings, because up to this point, the players have been better than you.
All right, you got me back for the fantasy football thing. I'll take the Dolphins, and so will the players.
Nick?
I'm going Fins. Coach Ruggley, though, is not. He's going Jets.
Wow, look at that.
Andy?
We flipped for Kansas City. We're going with Kansas City. It's there. State of Missouri showed up on that. And New York Jets for the coin as well.
Now we turn to...
I don't know about that.
Not looking good so far. Usually the home team does better. The Detroit Lions, they are visiting the Minnesota Vikings. Chad and I got Detroit. Matt, which way are you going?
What are you guys...
I'm kidding. We got Minnesota.
I was going to say, what are you guys doing? You're confusing me.
I'm kidding.
I'll take Minnesota, and so will the Jefferson football player.
I am glad Matt's not sleeping. He's Johnny on the spot there.
Yeah,
Nick?
Yeah.
Well, Detroit just sold by selling Golden Tate, so I'm going to say that Minnesota wins, and Coach Ruggley also has the Vikings.
And which way is the coin going, Andy?
We're going Detroit.
Detroit for the coin.
You know what? Andy's finally gotten smart here. He's flipping the coin while we're making our picks.
So that way, if he drops it, he can go again.
Right.
It might not work.
We'll see.
Took 4 weeks to figure that out.
I know, right?
There's a reason we're working in radio. Atlanta is visiting Washington. I've got Atlanta in this one. Chad has the Washington Redskins. Matt?
And this will be the first time me and the Jefferson Blue Jays players disagree. I am going with the Skins. They just got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix from the Packers. That's going to make them the elite team. I'm just kidding. But they are going to be better in the secondary for sure against an Atlanta team that throws the heck out of the football. So anyway, I'm going Skins, and the players are going Falcons.
Nick, what you got?
I have Atlanta. Coach Ruggley has the Redskins. Andy still has not completed his coin
test.
Well,
let's see.
So I don't know what he has.
That was my first try. Come on now. I'm not going at rapid speed here.
That's definitely not what's happening. You're right about that.
Here we go. That was Tails.
Tails. All right. So Tails for the coin,
Atlanta,
which makes it Atlanta.
Atlanta, six straight road teams. Let's go, baby.
Oh, my God.
Tampa Bay is visiting Carolina next up. Fitzmagic is back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at least so they hope that. It's Fitzmagic and not Fitztragic. So give me Carolina. I'm not confident in them, no matter who their quarterback is. Matt? Chad's got Carolina, too, by the way.
Yeah, they put a pretty good beating on Baltimore, so that gives me enough confidence to pick them at home against Tampa Bay. So Panthers for me. And Panthers for the Jefferson players.
Nick?
I want to root for Fitzmagic. I really do. But I think Carolina is going to win. And on the Coach Ruggley end, he agrees. Panthers.
Wow. Panthers for the coin, too. Finally have our first home team.
Panthers for the coin. Now we've got one that could be interesting. Baltimore is hosting Pittsburgh. Chad has his Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. I've got the Baltimore Ravens at home, though. I think this defense has been underrated so far this year, surprisingly for the Ravens, usually known for their defense. And their offense, I think, has been good enough. So give me the Baltimore Ravens in this one. Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh's finally figured it out, how to score 30-plus points a game, and their defense is good enough. So I'll take Pittsburgh on the road. I am not impressed with Baltimore at all. And the Jefferson football players are going Baltimore.
All right, so Baltimore for the players.
Little known fact, Baltimore's got the third best point differential in the league. So give me the Ravens, but Coach Ruggley's going with Pittsburgh.
Ravens.
Ravens for the coin. Now we've got Houston at Denver in a game that's interesting because, well, Demaryius Thomas is playing in this game. Not for the Denver Broncos, though. He got traded to Houston earlier today before the deadline. So give me the Houston Texans with or without him. But Chad's got the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I don't know why. Who knows? Who knows why, Chad?
He's never here to defend his picks.
Exactly. So we'll never know. But I'll take the Texans. I do like the Demaryius Thomas addition. I think it definitely fills that big gap that Will Fuller left on sort of the deep route kind of guy or big side. Whatever. Demaryius Thomas is a good wide receiver. So good trade there for the Texans. They get the win over Denver at Denver, and the players agree with me.
Yeah, the Texans definitely needed that trade after losing Fuller. I'll take Houston. Coach Rugley, though, he's got Denver.
And what does the coin have?
Denver.
Denver for the coin. The Los Angeles Chargers are visiting the Seattle Seahawks. Chad's got the Seahawks. Last week, I took the Seahawks because they were coming off the bye. This time, I'm doing the Chargers for that reason. So give me the L.A. Chargers.
Interesting. Matt? I was totally surprised that Seattle dominated Detroit like they did, so I'll take the Seahawks this week, and the players are going Chargers, road team.
Nick?
I've been really surprised at how well Seattle's been playing of late. I'll take the Seahawks at home, and so will Coach Rugley.
And what does the coin say, Andy?
Woo!
As he catches it.
Seattle.
Seattle for
All
the
right,
coin.
Four straight home teams this time. We're going back and forth.
This game, I'm disappointed, is not in prime time. This better be the one that's national for the afternoon games. LA Rams visiting the New Orleans Saints. This could be the NFC Championship game right here. The Saints are at home, so Chad's got the home team. I've got the LA Rams on the road. Matt?
I'm a little hurt that you wanted New Orleans LA as a primetime game. And
I didn't say which one. I never said which one I wanted to get rid of. Because I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. Who doesn't want quarterback, best quarterback that's, ever against best quarterback ever.
Later.
It's a tie, by the way.
Let's come.
I know it's coming up later, but I'm just saying that that's a good primetime game. Anyway, New Orleans for me. I don't know why. Well, I guess I kind of hate the Rams, but not for the reason St. Louis people do. But L.A. Rams, though, for the Jefferson football players. There we go.
And while they don't flex games into primetime on different days, I do wish that this game could have been either the Monday or the Thursday night game.
Monday night, I'm good with. But Sunday night, we're good with what it is.
Don't make these
we'll
two
get
teams
to the Sunday
play on
next.
Thursday night. Come on.
Monday would have been the best night for
exactly.
it. Exactly. In terms of just watching the game, being able to watch it, give me that over Oakland, San Francisco. Moving on, though, Nick. L.A. Rams, New Orleans Saints, what do you and Coach Rugley have?
I'm totally not a gambling man, but if I was, I would say not to bet against streaks ending. The Rams have not lost this year. I will take L.A., and so will Coach Rugley.
Wow.
And for
Coin,
Andy.
Coin says, Coin's like the Rams this year. They really have. I mean,
Everyone should like the Rams. They're the last undefeated team in football.
Right, there we go.
8-0 halfway through the year.
It's
been pretty good with picking the Rams. Rams.
Now we've got the Green Bay Packers that are at the New England Patriots. That shootout that Matt was alluding to between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I've got Tom Brady at home. Chad's got Tom Brady at home. Home field advantage is the difference maker for me with Brady and Belichick. So give me them, Matt.
Well, I say no Ty Montgomery. That's good for Green Bay. I'm glad they got rid of
that's
that.
That's good for my fantasy teams that have Aaron Jones.
Yeah.
Hashtag free Aaron Jones.
Yeah, no kidding. But let me harp on that play, that decision real quick. They traded Ty Montgomery for returning the ball out of the end zone with just over 2 minutes to play, not allowing Aaron Rodgers to do his thing, get down the field. They needed a field goal to beat the undefeated LA Rams, not a touchdown. They needed a field goal. Ty Montgomery, I know what your explanation was and all this and all that. You made the wrong decision, and I'm glad you're gone.
Hot 98.5, tell them why you're mad.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. There was some social media backlash for Ty Montgomery's decision where people were threatening him, and I totally am against that. If you're going to be mad about something, be mad amongst your friends or in your own home, but do not take it to social media and threaten a guy's life. That to me irks me quite considerably. So anyway.
So you're picking New England, right?
I am picking New England.
Oh!
And then
excuse me. He's dying.
Yeah.
It's killing him just to pick New England.
You read it, Nick.
As Matt continues to die,
he's got
against
New England.
Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Or the players have New England.
The players
That's what he's
have
trying
New
to
England
me.
As well. Nick, which way are you going?
Okay, so after we get through that, I have New England as well. Coach Rugley does too.
And Andy.
You guys are harping on the coin for taking too long, but we're not going to just go on mad. For.
Hey, man, like, that was the same amount of times it takes you to flip all your coins, okay?
Exactly. Okay.
New England.
New England for the Sunday night game. For Andy and the coin. Now we go to Monday night, and this one could be another tough one to watch. Tennessee is at Dallas. Not going to be as bad as Oakland, San Francisco, but I don't think this one's going to be a pretty game either. I've got the Dallas Cowboys again. They're coming off the bye. They've got a new toy in Amari Cooper, and they're playing at home. So, sorry, Will Compton fans and Will Compton. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. So is Chad, though.
You know, there's a reason why I agreed with you, Sean, that it'd be really cool to see the L.A. Rams at New Orleans on Monday Night Football, because, honestly, who wants to watch a tie? Who wants to witness a tie on prime time? I do not. So Tennessee-Dallas tie, and then the Jefferson football players, Dallas.
Nick, what you got?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a very fun game. Regardless, though, I'll take Dallas, and so will Coach Rugley.
And Andy. Caught it on one
final
try. There we go.
Flip of the night. Dallas Cowboys.
One. Dallas Cowboys for the coin as well. So that wraps up the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. We'd like to thank Chad Speaker, Nick Lewis, and Andy Humphrey for joining us, as well as our special guest this evening, the Jefferson Blue Jays. Matt, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah, Class 3 District Championships are coming up Thursday. Andy will have a call for you, and I'll have a call as well. So we'll dive into the matchups later sometime tomorrow. But, yeah. District Soccer District Championship on Regional Radio.
Farmington won theirs, correct, Andy? And North County is playing right now as we speak, so that'll determine who Farmington winds up playing in that game on Thursday.
And for us, we know it's Hillsboro and Windsor, yep.
Windsor and Hillsboro. It's 1-1 right now with at the half. North County, and who are they playing again? Cape Central. North County, Cape Central knotted up at 1-1 at the half right now. Football games that we've got coming up for you this Friday night. District semifinal action. Festus is at Farmington on J98 again. Farmington will not be on KREI this Friday night. Bumped up to J98 to accommodate the Festus Tigers fans as well. On AM 800 KREI in their place, it'll be Dexter at Central. Sekman is at Fox on AM 1400 KJF, and Crothersville is at Jefferson for your Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game of the week. That wraps things up for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98. I'm Sean Malone. Thank you for making us a part of your Tuesday evening. And we'll be back next week. Not sure. Keep an eye to Twitter if we're going to do it on Monday or if we're going to do it on Wednesday. But we're going to have Tuesday night election coverage. So we will not be here on a Tuesday night from Buffalo Wild Wings. Until then, hope you all enjoy the rest of your week and tune in Friday night.
At Navy Federal Credit Union, we help our members execute missions every day, like Operation...
Earn cash back on tutus, dance lessons, and tiaras, so I can get a little...